Blog Talk Radio.
It's Wednesday morning, December 1st of 2021. It's our show number 636 on this new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. Coming up in our final hour today, we have a very special guest that we're welcoming back to the show. It's TV's top attorney, Lisa Bloom, with her take on what's happening around the courts that are making big news. So let's get started. We've got a lot of other hair talk and things to get to in our first couple of hours on the show, and welcoming new folks in addition to new sponsors. Stay with us.
Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout-out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Carrie Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carapi Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show. You're listening to a brand new edition of the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Again, it is Wednesday morning. We're happy to have you with us on this December 1st, 2021. And in our first hour, we're taking a look back. It is December. We're taking a look back at some of the biggest events of 2021. We're giving our spin on it here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're going to invite you to stay tuned. And then, as mentioned in the cold opening, we have television top attorney Lisa Bloom joining us right here on this broadcast in our last hour. So lots to unpack with great hair talk mid-show between 7 and 8 Eastern time. We have Jossie from Jossie's Au Naturel and so much more to talk about. And we're also expecting 8:30 Smooth Black. He's scheduled, so big things ahead. We want you to stay with us. Going to go ahead and jump in with our leading song for today, and then we've got a lot of hair talk to get to. So thanks so much for joining us, and stay tuned. Lots to get to. There's a well-known saying, home is where the heart is, and not just your heart, but your hair. Home Hair Solutions is an all-organic styling and conditioning product line that's available at SalonNiquelle.com. The HOME in Home Hair Solutions is an acronym. H is for hydration, O is for oil, M is for moisture, and E is for earth. It doesn't get much better than that. A complete line of cleansers and hair mounds that will keep your hair looking great and you feeling great about what you're using in your hair. Home Hair Solutions is the answer. Go to SalonNiquelle.com for more details. That's S-A-L-O-N, N like Nancy, I-Q-U-E-L.com. All right, we're back live. You're listening to a very, very special broadcast of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is our annual year-end review, 2021, and this episode. And it is my great honor to bring to the line my co-host for the episode. You guys know her. She is a radio personality in her own right and doing so many incredible things out there. She was also an announcer right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Again, let's give a warm, warm welcome of appreciation to the one and only Miss Mary Reed Johnson. Good morning and
Terry.
Welcome. Yes, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Well, listen,
do we really need to look back? Because remember, when Lots White looked back, she turned to a pillar of salt.
Well, let me tell you, Mary Reed Johnson, we have a lot. Yes, we're going to get into quite a bit. This is a show. This is a true radio show that we're going to really look back. Some of it, you know, it's kind of like yanking off a Band-Aid of sorts. You know, You got it done. It may be a little bit of, momentary, as they say, discomfort in the medical world. But you're going to have a long-lasting impact once you open up and expose that to the air again and just embracing what's next. And I have to say,
I trust you to help us heal. So absolutely, I'm on.
Thank you. Well, I think we are both going to be doing that today, Mary Reed Johnson. So it's nice to have you back. First of all, we're going to get into a lot of what happened in 2021. But if you guys can remember, our year really kind of started a little bit earlier than that. And mostly, of course, you can't, you know, the elephant in the room obviously is the pandemic. So it kind of, you know, I thought when we were looking at producing this special broadcast for you guys, we were looking at how did we want to frame this? Do you want to talk about the pandemic early on in the broadcast, or do you want to talk about it a little later? However, we came to the conclusion that, you know, the pandemic really, it's called the pandemic for a reason. It's literally across everything, and it really set the foundation for, I mean, you can't escape it. It truly is the elephant in the room, and you have to address it.
It absolutely shaped us.
Absolutely. Well, listen, let's start there, Mary. And as you guys out there know, we've all lived through this. It did not start in 2020. It didn't start in 2021. It probably didn't even start in 2020, but that's another story. So, Mary, let's look back for a moment. And let's take a look. When January of 2021, we were already reeling from dealing with the pandemic. There was a whole lot of talk. If I recall correctly, the folks were kind of, and let me, before we even get deep into this discussion, let's let folks know that what they can also expect in today's broadcast. It's not just a regurgitation of pandemic talk. There is so much to look at that happened in 2021. We're going to cover some of the biggest news stories, some of the biggest pop cultural events, some of the things from the political world. We're also going to look at what is next for us. And, of course, as with any big, the end of the year, it gives us a moment to look back at some of the folks who have passed on and not going to be part of that that whole thing to move into the next year. And we're not even talking about the over 750,000 lives lost to the pandemic. So, so Mary, let's go back in this. As I was just saying, let's take a look at the, when the year started, we were kind of reeling. I think at that point, the vaccines were just kind of being introduced. They weren't even rolled out, I don't think, at the beginning of the year. I mean, at the part of the beginning of the year. So let's say, what do you recall about that period, and how were you affected? Mary Reed Johnson.
Wow. Well, I would say as early as 2019, there was some stirrings going on, and we kind of poo-pooed everything through 2020. Our leadership poo-pooed everything. And so by time 2021 right. hit, our current head of state was really full steam ahead trying to get something approved that people would trust, you know, vaccines in arms so that we could maybe get our lives back. And so it was a tough and uphill battle, but I'd say current head of state got some stuff done that was very much needed, or we'd, I think, have many more casualties than we do.
Right. Now, that's a very interesting point, and if you look at it, because if I recall correctly, for you guys, President Trump had kind of started with the whole vaccine rollout, trying to get the whole thing started with that. But Joe Biden came in because it looked like it was as if the President Trump had kind of stopped and didn't do anything else. And so Joe Biden and his folks literally picked up the mantle, and they literally ran all the way across the finish line with this, getting the vaccines introduced and getting emergency authorization, use authorization out there to folks, and literally making huge news with the nurse who was the first to receive the vaccine in our country. And so, as you said, and I love the wonderful, phrase that you just said, poo-pooed, because that is exactly what happened with the former administration under the Trump folks, who it appeared that were a bit, resistant to this whole idea of the pandemic. And there was even some discussions before that they knew, when they knew, how they knew, and this information was not made really get wind of this whole thing until I think the dam broke in like February, if you will. I think February of 2021. And I seem to recall, I'm in Brooklyn, New York, and Mary, you're generally out in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area. So we got a chance to look from our perspective, and I recall here in New York, now in my community, I live in and mixed in with a lot of folks who are of Asian descent, and they had already been wearing masks around my neighborhood for years, literally. That's
well,
the truth.
Because COVID is also known as SARS-2. And SARS, they had dealt with in many countries, especially Asia, in the past. So they were used to wearing masks, and they took things very seriously. One of the other things that I was doing, because one of the, I don't know if it's a myth, but one of the stories out there about COVID early on was that it came from bats. And so if you'll remember, we had these coins, a lot of our quarters, right, had, national preservation type things, but there was a ugly bat on the 2020 coin that I was like, this is so ugly, it's probably going to mean something someday. And if I challenge everybody, find a bat quarter and keep them, but they're not a lot of them. So, we'll see what history has to say about it, but I don't think it was a coincidence.
Wow, that is so interesting. Now, I'll tell you, at that beginning stage, and that was the last time I had taken a New York City subway in my neck of the woods, because then they rolled out with information was just flying fast and loose. We didn't quite know what to believe. We didn't quite know what to anticipate with the pandemic. So as this whole look back at 2021, this year in review, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're going to be delving in. Almost every topic has some connection to the pandemic. So we're going to move forward with some of these other wonderful things to look back at, some a little sad, but, you know, some great memories also. And Mary Reed Johnson, I want to say, just even on a political front, since we kind of were talking and introduced, you know, mentioned Donald Trump and Joe Biden and all this, you have to be under a rock if you don't recall. Like, it was the early part of January, like around January 6th, I believe, was the date when that insurrection happened. And that is on the Capitol, and which shocked everybody. I was glued to my TV, and we were broadcasting, I believe, on Hair Radio about this. This went on, and it just made huge news. It was just, you couldn't believe what your
yes,
eyes
watching
were
it
showing
unfold.
You.
Yes, watching it unfold, a lot of people had that same kind of surreal thing and question. It's like, where are the National Guards? Where's our mm-hmm. helpers? Is that our, you know, is that our Capitol under attack? And is this for real? And what, you know, all those questions, but it was real.
It was real. You hit it on the head. And, but if the occurrence, if you guys recall out there, it was not so much a surprise. You could tell the way it appeared that the former president and all those folks were kind of, you know, allegedly what it seemed to be was that they were kind of goading these folks on. And unless if you're going to hide and hide it and, you know, be in denial, but it was very clear that these folks were under the impression that they were going to meet Donald Trump at the Capitol building. And so this whole thing where they were there and he was not, and they began to, you know, it was unruly. Thank the Lord that, you know, sadly we have folks who've lost their lives, a few of them tied into this. But it could have been so much worse. It could have been worse because these folks were under the impression, you know, false impression that, that our politicians, that was the target of all of this vitriol and hate and all this kind of stuff. And so they acted out this, and thank goodness for the efforts of that wonderful black man who was the guard, the police mm-hmm. officer who led them in a different direction.
Absolutely.
He led them away from where they were hiding. And that
they were so
their
intent. Yes, they were so intent with their hate. You could even see the pause. It's like, well, we're supposed to go in the other direction, but they were so intent on
lynching
the person
that they followed them anyway
because they were angry and they wanted to. And you know, also there was no thought that they would ever have to be held accountable or accept responsibility for some really bad things.
That's right. And we didn't even get to that part, but that's absolutely right. The thing is, what I was going to say about that, yes, when the officer was leading them away into the opposite direction, it didn't occur to them once that they were going in the wrong direction and that that was a ploy by the officer so that they wouldn't.
Oh,
would
I
not,
think they
you know,
did, because if you look at that, look at that footage again, because there was just a second pause of the one who was like right behind the officer who looked in the other direction, like we're supposed to go that way. But he, again, that hate drove him to like follow this officer so they could, you know, cause him harm. And yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't know. I think that that could be the case. I'm not disagreeing with that. My thing is that, like you say, I totally agree. I think they were so hate-filled that they could not think clearly, and their judgment and all of that. So that officer, he literally had them to follow him, and he led all of them, literally like it was the Pied Piper, away from those. Now, this is why that is so significant for you guys out there, in case you probably didn't realize this. But had those folks, remember Mike Pence was there, there in that room, all those, because if you recall, the president had seemingly been pressuring Mike Pence to overturn, to not accept the results. That was the key. Mm-hmm. And so Mike Pence had to really go and not accept and do the right thing, which is to follow the Constitution. And Mike Pence did not have the authority to really overturn anything. So, but apparently, Trump did not want him to even acknowledge, the results, which would have thrown things in chaos. And that's all that what it seemed to me is that the former administration was just trying to throw things in chaos. And had those folks who were going to open up and destroy all of that by storming the Capitol, had they been able to get away with it and got awful, thank God no harm was
done. We might
Nancy
be in,
Pelosi,
I mean,
it'd
be
people.
Equivalent. Absolutely.
Not,
it'd be equivalent to be in any dictatorship country, yes.
Well, not might and could have, would have. We absolutely would have been subject to a lengthier former administration. So Donald Trump would have still been able to, there wouldn't have been an election for, Biden coming in. This is what is amazing that, that in my opinion, and I'm speaking myself, that if this, this man, if Mr., the former administration, let's just say that, had gotten away, so to speak, with really getting these folks riled up so much that they would have caused that, our world would be very different right now. And that, it just seemed to me that some people don't care at what, at the lives that would have been lost. They're so selfish in their goals and, what they're trying to get, just have their own way, no matter how illegal and how awful and immoral, they didn't care because what would have happened, they would have remained in power.
Yes, people want to believe what they want to believe. They can't put it on anybody in the end but themselves. And it's unfortunate, but the good thing is they didn't overthrow the government that time. They didn't take over democracy, and people need to appreciate what, even if it's not perfect, what this family is and or can be. Trust, if you travel at all, you see some things, and you're like, well, America's not perfect, but it sure could be. And thank goodness it's not, but we still are not done yet. And by the way, even if you have a wonderful life and, no harmful stains going on, it doesn't mean it'll stay that way. So you always have to be aware, and you always want to do whatever you can do, whoever you can influence, to bring about positive change or at least increase awareness, some positive standards there. And my thoughts might be different, but, I think you can look at certain regimes and know that they're not good for women, or certain regimes and know that they don't like anybody who is not like them. And that's unhealthy at any level.
Absolutely. Well, that has all been exacerbated by, again, a culture. We have begun to accept this whole, rage that seems to be building out here in America. And it's been going on for hundreds of years. Well, let me tell you, looking back at 2021, folks, if you're just kind of tuning in to the Hair Radio Morning Show, if you're just joining us, I'm Carrie Hines, and with me on the line is Mary Reed Johnson. You guys know her of Hair Head Heart, and we're taking a good look back at 2021. We're also looking ahead at 2022, some of the biggest stories that happened in this past year and why it's so important for us to take this look. I do it every year, Mary, as you guys know, out there. We take a look back because it allows us things in the right perspective. We can kind of, you know, look forward and kind of know exactly what action we need to take and all that wonderful mm-hmm. stuff. You know, that's how I kind of do it. Do you have a ritual that you do at the end and the beginning of each year?
Well, I think I've been reviewing just things more often than I typically do, and that's not a bad thing. And so I'm embracing change. Yeah, I'm embracing change. I'm always encouraging just people, myself and people around me, to stretch. And if you've never stretched, or you've always been putting off things, or you think you don't have enough money or enough this, I would say poppycock. This is the best time ever, best opportunities we've had in, you know, 1,000 years, whatever, to stretch. So I'd say make sure right now stretch. As far as traditions for my family, we are pretty diverse as far as what we like, but you know, our bonds are very strong, and so that, you know, continues. I have 2 grown daughters, and each is amazing, fabulous, and, you know, very successful in their own right. So, you know, encouraging them to keep growing, and I'm going to keep growing even at this age. You can never stop, especially with the new opportunities that are presenting themselves. So if you get that extra stimulus check or that extra little piece of cash, do something with it. Don't just go and pee
market. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what I want to kind of jump in on as well. Speaking of 2021 and at the beginning of 2021, and there was that whole stimulus check, which I think would have been about the second payment, if I'm not mistaken. So, and I think $600 was issued out, if I recall correctly. I don't remember how much it was, Mary.
There were different amounts for different about $300 each month. Better than nothing. These people, I mean, the moratorium that they had on housing, that was helpful. The $1,500 or $1,200 to help you, you know, kind of get through whatever until unemployment kicked in, helpful. For some people who are gig workers or contract workers, we weren't even in categories that had been monitored enough that we would get unemployment, right? So all that CARES Act stuff was really helpful. Some small businesses, and unfortunately not a big businesses who already had a lot of money, were able to get stipends to help them. And so it was really a holistic approach to keeping us afloat as a country. So I won't say that they...
I agree with you in theory, but when I look back and I remember this, I think what the whole thing was is that the payments and the way that they had divvied it up, yes, the money, no one's going to say money's not helpful. It is, and it's always on time whenever it does arise. But the thing is, I think it certainly was not enough, period. It was not enough money.
Never enough.
I don't know. Well, I was about to say, I don't know anybody who would think that it actually was perfect and enough money for us. In fact, I seem even to remember one of the politicians when I think they gave us out, because they sent me money, I took it. But I think I think one of them was like, it was so low, and we had already been in the pandemic at that point for like 10 months or something. And I mean,
okay, think of your whole life. When have they ever given you money? Period.
Well, no, I understand and I totally agree with you. But the mm-hmm. issue here is that you got to remember, folks were unable to work. They wanted to encourage you to stay home. Other countries took the approach to give you, because if they, to me, if they gave you the money on a regular basis and gave you money each month, you would have been more inclined to stay home, which would have cut down on the transmission potentiality, and it would have ultimately had a benefit to everybody's health. But they didn't look at it that way per se. So the little bit of money they were looking at, the reason that the money was issued, if you recall, was a stimulation to the economy.
Right.
Those
wasn't
are
about
the words that they were talking about.
No.
It wasn't about
yeah.
trying to, in my opinion, trying to really say, oh, we need to do this to, you know, keep everybody going and da-da-da-da-da. It was more so
economy,
about stimulation of the economy.
Yeah, it absolutely was. But the thing is, we are the economy. We pay the taxes. We do this. We do that.
Right,
and if we
right.
can't move, then they...
Yeah, I...
So that's really...
Good point, Mary. Now, what about the vaccines? And I want to talk about this because then it was we started fighting about everything. Thank you, former administration in the White House, because what you have done is to make us look at our differences. We began to only focus on the differences. Don't get me wrong. The differences have always been there since the beginning mm-hmm. of time. But it wasn't the sole focus. And because of that, again, that word exacerbate, it has exacerbated everything. So when mm-hmm. I look back, yes, we got the stimulus monies. Those funds helped. They need to send another round, if you ask me, but that's my opinion. The vaccines were all over the news. Then we began fighting about the darn vaccines. And I remember because quite a few folks were reluctant about taking the vaccine, getting the approval of the vaccines, and where do we stand now with the vaccines? And there are folks who now in certain cities and states where you can't even go into a restaurant and eat and sit down and eat without being fully vaccinated. And you have to provide proof or you will not be able to do that. So what do you say, Mary Reed Johnson? And I'll tell you what is going on out here in New York City. Now, Mary's out in the Minnesota area generally. So what do you say, Mary?
Oh, I think it's messy by design.
Yes.
So people have to just be logical. I mean, that might be asking too much, but people want to believe what they want to believe. They want to do what they want to do. But there are certain things called repercussions on your actions.
Right.
And then your actions are not necessarily individual. They are linked to certain things. So, for example, when people were dying with Philip Morris and the cigarette smoking and everything, yeah, it was cool. It was popular, blah, blah, blah. But they realized that smokers were infecting other people. Secondhand smoke was killing more people than the people who were actually doing the smoking. So it's, you know, that kind of scenario.
Well, I wouldn't say it was
around.
Killing more than, but it certainly, they showed that, well, listen, it goes deeper than that as well, because there was all kind of things that have been there's a whole bunch. It goes so deep.
That really is
very interesting.
Yeah, public health concerns are just that, public health concerns. People didn't used to want to wear seatbelts. People don't want to text and drive. But these are problems. And the individual, I mean, they are as responsible as, you know, one person to the next person. So we, you know, we just have to get there. And so
I agree. I agree. Well, good way to look at it, Mary. Yes, I agree. Now, I'll say on the vaccine front, and I myself was a bit reluctant at first because, you know, there's a lot of talk surrounding that people are still reluctant, even as we, you know, go to air at this time. There are folks who are reluctant to get the vaccine. See, my thing is this. There are folks, I understand the reluctancy of folks in this country. The interesting part is that there are folks who are reluctant for different reasons. There are lots of reluctancy, but almost all of us have different reasons for being a bit reluctant. Now, I have to say, I went ahead and got my vaccination. So when I do events and things like that that we'll talk about, I wanted to make sure that I was in good health to do so and to make sure that I was keeping myself safe and the folks around me. So I went ahead, and I believe in science. That wasn't the reason for my reluctancy. My reluctancy is because of the awful history we have in this country as folks of color and being used for all kinds of, you know, tests and this and that and being in, right, experiment is a better word, and being infected and all of these things that you're supposed to just pretend didn't happen. And when someone says to me, if they, you know, the folks who did these things say, listen, the sky is blue, I would literally open up my window and look out to make sure. I totally understand that. Yes, Mary,
absolutely.
Go right ahead.
Along those lines, Carrie. Think about, so the number 45 who was saying, oh, you don't need this and drink some bleach and, you know, whatever, whatever. He didn't drink bleach when he got COVID, right?
No.
He went to the
medical facility. That's right. Do you remember when he was standing up there?
You all don't need it.
Right. Well, I remember the news conference where he was standing up there. And his doctor, one of the education, one of the supposed physician, you know, she was in the background sitting down. And when he said, they showed her face when he mentioned about the bleach, he said later that he was just kidding. In fairness, we'll say he said he was just kidding. But she was in total consternation. She was like in shock that those words came out of his mouth. She later said that. So it's not like we're putting words in anybody's mouth. She released, I believe she did a book and she talked about it later. But let me tell you, just very interesting. Now, as far as the vaccines go, I believe that we have definitely turned a big point, a corner with all of this. And in 2022, this, I believe that they're going to pretty much put this to bed. So I'm grateful of that. I think this this whole pandemic thing seemed to, you know, has lasted so much longer than we had thought. You know, we just, like the former administration said, it'll just one day disappear. You know, you wake up and poof. And so that was the thinking that they had. And so we've come a long way with folks, you know, getting these vaccines. Right now, there's still the three major vaccines. They're now coming out with all kinds of pills and things to ward off serious infection and so much more. And they have children things and all this kind of stuff. So we're definitely turning the corner with the vaccines. Now, speaking of which, Mary, you mentioned something right before we went on air today, and that is talking about the hair and beauty industry. We have to work in them in this conversation. We really do. So, you know, just to kind of go back a bit for folks who are just tuning in, I'm Carrie Hines. I'm with Mary Reed Johnson. And today we're taking a look back at 2021. It's our annual year-end review on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And just kind of, if you're really just joining us, you might have missed our lead in this morning. We kicked off with the amazing singer that we actually lost this year. And it was a wonderful, wonderful song called A Lovely Day. And Bill Withers is the artist. And just how could you not just have fond thoughts and memories, Mary Reed Johnson, with a lovely day kicking off this whole episode? And we're going to be playing
that
some of the music
excellent
some of the folks that we lost. Was that not? Now, just to take a moment, because you guys know we're going to be getting in and out and talking about this. Almost everything that we talk about has been traced back or can be tracked back to a pandemic in some way. So there's a lot to get into, and we're going to get in and delve on in. But the hair salons, this was one subject that I was able to really delve into on the Hair Radio Morning Show. And the one thing I have to say, and even before we get into that part, Mary, it was with the pandemic, there were lots of pluses and benefits, if you will, even though this was a very negative, sad story overall. But there were some wonderful things that were born out of this. Did you have any positive experiences that came out of the pandemic, Mary Reed Johnson?
Oh, my goodness, yes. Again, it was just a wonderful time to reflect. Even when the shops closed and reopened and closed again, even for me deciding who really was a worthwhile client, you know, this type of thing. Fortunately for me, most of them were very loyal and, you know, encouraging and, you know, this type of thing. It was nice to have the industry recognized as an industry and I mean, literally the gig workers and the contract workers, that is the bulk of the industry. I don't know if it's 62 or 82%, but the bulk. And so having them look at the big picture and what they might need or want. I had gap insurance when this first happened, and the gap insurance was anything ever happened. You know, if I couldn't perform whatever way or whatever reason, my gap insurance, in addition to the other things I had, was supposed to kick in. It did not. So exposed a lot of problems with the insurance industry and coverages and, you know, that type of thing. Not just me, but just worldwide.
That's amazing.
So I think that's positive, because anytime you learn from an experience, that's a good thing. So choosing where you want to practice, how you want to practice, expanding your practice, offering classes on, you know, these types of things were not necessary before, but once it became an option, or you're aware of the option, you explored it, and I think it bodes well for the industry. There's a lot, and so
yeah, there is. Yeah,
it starts. Yeah, just to start to unpack some of those things is important.
Absolutely. Well, I agree with you, Mary. Now, for me and the Hair Radio Morning Show, there was a huge boon in the broadcasting for me, and I could tell you quite personally. During the height of the pandemic, when things were shut down, and here in New York City, it was a virtual ghost town. Nothing was moving. The trains had stopped. People were walking. There was just nothing going on. And everybody was in the house by like 8 or 9 o'clock. As soon as night fell, that was it. You were definitely not outside. And so I remember this. And what was absolutely amazing to me is that because you were home, there were things that we didn't anticipate a few years back, and that would be that folks were looking for things to do inside their homes. They didn't even know who some of their spouses were because they had never gotten to spend that much time with them. They had to be reminded of their kids' names. You know,
oh, my goodness.
They had not.
May I share with you one of the comedians named Jim Gaffigan? He has five children.
Yes, I know who Jim is.
Talk about him.
Yeah, he's on 60 Minutes, I think.
CBS Sunday Morning and just kind of everywhere. But he made a big thing of, like, discovering these five children and realizing that they were there to stay and that he would have to interact with them.
You know, I actually saw that, yes. I was a fan of his, so I saw that. Yeah, you're right. He was on CBS, Sunday CBS Morning News and 60 Minutes and all that stuff on CBS. But, yeah, we had
to become familiarized.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. I love that. We had to become refamiliarized with a lot of that. And as such for us at Hair Radio, folks were discovering the broadcast. So we have a lot of listeners from all over the world, and we welcome you. We love you. We thank you for being a part of our experience. But we were able to be introduced to a lot of folks because of the pandemic that we probably wouldn't have had a chance to meet so soon. So we are grateful on that level for being able to do that. And speaking of the Hair Radio Morning Show, we had a lot of folks who literally joined us in 2021 for the very first time and got to be part, thrust right in the middle of some of the biggest news stories about hair and beauty in the world. And so we're going to talk about that. And I've got to first say, like some of those hair salons that were open, were closed for a little bit, some states, depending on where you were almost like they didn't close at all. I think if I recall correctly, Georgia had pretty much opened right back up. Maybe 2 weeks if you want to say close. I think they gave it a week or two. The pandemic did come and go. And then they were right back open. Georgia
like,
was
I
one of the
money.
First states. Georgia, did. They were like, we are opening back up, honey. You're going to have to mask up, but we don't really care what you do, but we're opening back up. And I'm just exaggerating a bit, but let me tell you, I think one of the interesting interviews that we did was with the folks at Barberside. The folks at Barberside. So we had, Mary, I want to get this lady on. Her name is Nurse Leslie, and she talked to us at that time. Again, this was during the pandemic. We have it firsthand. And then we're going to get to the biggest news story, the very biggest news story. And one of the biggest news stories in the country, if not the world, but particularly in our industry. And we'll tell you what that is.
Oh, let me guess.
In the show. Oh, no, not yet. We're gonna tease it for just a tad or two. As we move into the next hour on our look back at 2021, I'm Kerry Hines with Mary Reed Johnson. We're going to have you guys to stay with us. And then as we come back, we're going to delve on in with Nurse Leslie of Barberside and kind of give us a little bit. It'll help us to kind of understand when we're listening to this broadcast, this replay with Nurse Leslie of where we were at that time. And then, like I said, we've got some big things to touch on in this look back. So I'm super excited. So we want you guys to stay with us. We'll take a little bit of a commercial break as we move into the next hour. And again, I'm so grateful to have you with us. So stay tuned. We've got a lot more to get to this morning on the show.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at ChairWatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
It's my honor, my absolute honor, to welcome Nurse Leslie Rosti to the Hair Radio Morning Show. Leslie, Nurse Leslie, we're going to call you this morning. You're on the Hair Radio Morning Show. with LaSonya Nicole and me, Carrie Hines. How are you? How are you, Nurse
I'm
Leslie?
I'm good. How are you guys? I'm very honored to be on your show. So
good morning.
We're honored to have you.
I
was looking at you guys before I got on, and you guys have a great thing going here, so I'm happy to be part of it.
Ah, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Listen, we've got to, I'm going to kill the background music here because we've got to jump right on in. There's so much going on these days. And, you know, Leslie, just tell us a little bit about Barbicide. Now, you're the ED, you're the education director for Barbicide. And this is, you know, known everywhere. Everybody knows Barbicide. But can you just, you know, for those few who may not be as familiar, what can you tell us about Barbicide and its importance right now?
So I came to Barbicide, I came to the company King Research that manufactured Barbicide about 11 years ago. As you already referenced, I'm a nurse, and came to the company not really sure what my message would be to this industry. And for the last 11 years, I have been out saying, you know, something like this is going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. It's going to happen. We've got to be prepared. And maybe some of your listeners have heard me at conventions or read from the textbooks that I've written for, or I may have come into some of your schools and taught classes to your students. And I've been preaching that, you know, we really need to be on top of our game when it comes to infection control. And it's unfortunate, something like COVID-19, to really get everyone to pay attention and to even have the consumer understand it almost as well as most of our licensees do this, the difference between cleaning and disinfection, the importance of properly disinfecting things, even things like PPE. You know, if I said that to any consumer 6 months ago, they wouldn't have understood it, but they do today.
Exactly.
And so Barbicide, as the leading product in this industry that was really designed for the professional beauty industry as a disinfectant, in 1947, which is kind of shocking to me that the formula hasn't changed since 1947, and we've been effective against literally everything that has come. When HIV came, yes, we were effective against it. You know, and here we are with COVID-19, and yes, we're effective against it. So it's kind of amazing that a product designed in Brooklyn in 1947.
Brooklyn, of course, the best thing to come out of Brooklyn, let me just say that.
You know, and today it's manufactured in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, of all places, but, you know, Barbicide is important because Barbicide was designed for this industry. When you talk about disinfectants, not all disinfectants are created the same. One of the things we're constantly being aware of is the fact that all of you have, for example, expensive shears, expensive equipment that you purchase that you don't want it to get ruined. So we're, as a company, we walk that line for you of disinfecting properly, but also allowing you to keep your, you know, nice, good equipment, your sharp shears, all of those things in good condition. So things like putting in rust inhibitors that you wouldn't find, for example, in bleach. So it is an important product in this industry right now. So now I will say this, we have been selling into healthcare and the hospitals. So about we sold into hospitals for a couple of weeks, sort of in the interim when everybody shut down and we were still making product. I feel proud to say that as a nurse that we did sell into healthcare for a while, but we will be ready when everybody's ready to go back to work. We're ready to, you know, to provide you with product.
Wonderful. Now, I've got to say, you also, the Barbicide, I happen to be on social media like all of our fans and show followers, and I saw the certification information on Barbicide.
Right.
Can you tell our listeners about that?
So about probably 7 years ago, I had an idea that I was going out to all of these schools, and I realized that for every school I could get to and do a presentation, there were 10 that wanted me to come, and I couldn't get there. So we developed this Barbicide certification originally for the schools, and it's free of charge. It takes about 40 minutes. You've probably done it. Maybe it doesn't even take that long.
Yes.
But it's really basic information. You know, one of the things I try to go out in my mind when I go to a state government and try to help them revise their rules, or when I go and train instructors in a state, when I go and speak to a big audience, I try to remind people this isn't rocket science. It's actually pretty simple. And I think some of the rules of some of our states and some of our textbooks even have made it more complicated than it needs to be. It's a pretty simple process to make your service as safe as possible using the right products and doing it correctly. It's really actually simple. So the Barbicide certification is that simple knowledge that you need to do everything as safely as you can. And, yes, it was designed for students who are going through school, but what I've discovered through all of this is that it's a really good refresher for somebody. You know, maybe you got out of school 20 years ago, and you just want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. You know, now it's, things are so scary, you want to make sure that you're doing the right thing. So going back and taking this 40-minute class, it's free of charge. You get to print a certificate at the end of it that, you know, people are posting, hanging their certificates up and framing their certificates and all kinds of things. Because here's the other thing. You need a refresher, but you need to let your clients know that you did a refresher. Because afraid as you might be to go back to work, your clients are really afraid to come back into the barbershop or the salon. They are nervous. And so anything you can do to make them feel better about what you're doing and having a certificate posted says, I did this thing. I went and got this little extra reminder of what they already, maybe already knew.
Now, Nurse Leslie, let me just, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines with my co-star and co-host, LaSonya Nicole, and our very special guest that you're listening to is Nurse Leslie. Now, she is the ED, the Education Director for Barberside, and we're so excited to have you on with us, talking about so many important things right now. I have to say, in preparation for the interview today, Nurse Leslie, we had a brief conversation. I really want you to kind of bring this point home about the disproportionate number of cases with regards to minorities and men of color. Can you just kind of share some of those stats and some of the information you were kind of introducing me to, which I found fascinating?
Well, I don't think it's any surprise to anyone, because if you live in a community of color, you've heard it already, right? You've heard in your community that, first off, men in general are way more susceptible to dying from this than women, you know, across any type of ethnic group. But then when we start talking about men of color, that number skyrockets. And part of the reason for that, and the main reason from a nursing perspective I can tell you for that, is that color and traditionally are not the best, I will say this, about going to a doctor, let's say, for a regular checkup. Most of the time it's I go to the doctor when I'm sick. And the problem with that approach to healthcare is that the two things that make somebody the most susceptible to this disease are hypertension or high blood pressure and diabetes, both of which have very, very silent symptoms. You know, you often hear them called the silent killer because your symptoms are so mild, you don't even feel them. So if you are that man and you're having symptoms that you're not even recognizing as making you potentially diabetic or hypertensive, and you now get COVID-19, your likelihood of dying is much, much higher. So it's not because you're of color. It's not because of a community that you live in. It's because you have an underlying condition that you didn't know you had. That's really the generalized theory of why it's hitting disproportionately in those particular communities. Now, I will say that's also increased if you live in a community where people live very close together. It's why New York City is having such a problem. I have a son that lives in New York City, and, you know, everybody lives on top of each other, literally on top of each other.
Literally, that's right.
You know, it's hard to socially distance when everybody lives so close together. It's why in the middle of the country, in the Midwest, I live in the Midwest, you don't see as many numbers. We don't live close together. We all, you know, we keep our distance from each other. That's how our normal lifestyle is. So you will see those numbers go down also or up disproportionately depending on how you live. So.
Wow. Well, I tell you, this is really just information that you can't really find out there so much like with this particular discussion point, and I love this. Nurse Leslie, can you talk a little bit? One of the biggest reasons for having you on the show today is that when you turn on the news, you hear that the salons, well, first of all, you hear that the states are about to kind of open back up and start rolling out a way to kind of bring the country back up, if you will, economically speaking at least.
Right.
So they're trying to reopen the shops, reopen the states, reopen, get back to some sense of normalcy, if you will, some sense. So this is a real part of the conversation. The salons, the barbershops that are out there, What are your thoughts? And let me just also say this, Nurse Leslie. The governors around our country are calling you. They're calling you. They're consulting with you. Talk a little bit about that, and what kind of a plan do you think we need to take to consider? Yes, they're calling you. You're the go-to.
I'm only laughing because I think everybody has a misconception, perhaps, that there is some master plan that's going on. And I will tell you, the states are trying very diligently to get a plan together. But, you know, no one's ever been here before. Like, we've never been in this space before. And there would not have been a way to have planned for this. I mean, we can get as mad as we want about whatever did or didn't happen up till today, but no one's ever been in this position of having to create a guideline for literally reopening their entire economy. Who goes first? Does a restaurant open first? Does a barbershop open first? What order do we open things in? And when we open them, what are the guidelines that we can put in place? And some states are restrained by the fact that to even put a temporary rule in place, they have to have legislation. So some states can only give guidelines for when you reopen, and some states can actually make temporary rules. So depending on what state you're in, particularly as a barber or a stylist, you may have some temporary rules in place, but you may just have temporary guidelines. And one of the things I've been talking with governors about, with governor's offices, I should say, when they call and ask for my recommendations, I had a governor's office ask me the other day, they said, if you could make one temporary rule, what would it be? And I said, the one temporary rule I would make, which barbers may ruffle their feathers a little bit about, but hear me out, is that I think that all services in this industry, at least in the short term, should be scheduled. They should not allow walk-ins anymore. And the reason for that is that, remember, no one's had a haircut, legally at least, for the last 3 months in most states, right? So the first day that you open up, what we do not want is 50 people standing in your waiting area, shoulder to shoulder, waiting for their turn to get their haircut. First off, that's a problem. Secondly, if that pressure is on you, as let's say the barber or the stylist, to turn that chair so quickly, you are not taking the time to properly disinfect in between each client, as was already the rule in your state, but is really important now. And I have been referencing what happened in South Dakota. If you don't watch the news, you may not have heard this, but South Dakota, they had less than 100 cases in the entire state. And one sick worker who had no symptoms, none at all, went to work at a Smithfield pork processing plant.
Oh, yes.
And now
yes,
400
yes.
people, 400 people within a few days now have COVID-19 in South Dakota, of all places, right? So I think we need to look at those examples and say, people with no symptoms do carry this and do pass it on. I had a governor's office yesterday call me, and what they wanted to do was buy thermometers, the ones you scan someone's forehead with, and make every barbershop and every stylist use that. And my whole point kind of dumb. Because if you have a fever, you're already sick, right? I can just ask you if you feel feverish. I mean, you already have a fever. I'm not worried about that person. That person can acknowledge to me that they're sick. It's the person that has no symptoms, that's walking in, thinks they're fine, and might be spreading it, that I'm worried about. So I do think that there are some things that are going to go into place that may make sense, some things that won't. I'm not a big fan of, for example, gloves, making people wear gloves. I'm a fan of hand gloves. And I think that gloves become a problem because if you are not somebody who, as a profession, wears your gloves on, you know, I'm as a nurse, if I walked into your room and I already had my gloves on, you would look at me like, what are you doing? You know, you would expect me to walk in with my hands and clean, wash my hands in the sink, and then put on gloves before I touch you, because I could have been out touching everybody else with the same pair of gloves on. You have no way of knowing. And gloves will be in short supply, and I have a feeling what we'll see is people will put on one pair of
All right, you're listening to an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. It is Wednesday, December 1st of 2021. It's our broadcast show number 636. And I want to bring to the line right now a wonderful, wonderful edition who She actually is with us each Wednesday and Friday morning between mid-show, so that's between the hours of 7 and 8 Eastern Time, 6 and 7 Central Time. So it's, again, my honor to welcome back to the broadcast. She's, you know, finding and navigating her way, the one and only Jossie of Au Naturel. Good morning and welcome back to the broadcast.
Good morning. Thank you.
Yes, yes. So I have to tell you, first of all, we've had a little bit of a break, you and I, on the show. We had a chance because what happens is we usually do the show live Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday morning, and we usually run a repeat on Mondays. But we were off a little bit for the holiday, you know, so this is, I think, your first time being back with us in a little bit. So how are you doing? Did you have a great holiday break?
Yes, I did. I did. It's one of those things where you can't get yourself back into reality.
Yes.
You enjoy yourself so much that it's hard to, like, bounce back.
Absolutely. Well, listen, and we're still in literally in between these big holidays. Christmas is right
yes.
around the corner. So we'll talk about that in some of the upcoming shows and what we've got planned. Now, Jossie, I have to say, you know, you've come on board recently and you've been doing a fantastic job. I love having you on in mid-show between 7 and 8 Eastern Time on Wednesdays and Fridays. But just a reminder to the folks who are joining us today for the first time, and again, we thank you for doing that. So, Jossie, just remind everybody again about Au Naturel.
All right, so I am. I have my own company. I make all natural hair products, and I started that actually almost a year ago, coming up this month, making just all natural products to help promote hair growth and maintain healthy hair. And I try to keep it as simple and natural as possible. And that's just something I'm trying to, like, promote amongst the hair industry, something that's really pure and something that's really natural.
Well, you're doing a good job, and you've made the first stop right here with our amazing fans all around the world, as you know. One of the biggest things and one of the biggest questions they always have is what can they use in their hair? So we are happy to have you on board to straighten all that out. Now, I know that you have prepared something for all of the listeners this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So I'm going to turn it over to my wonderful co-host for the hour, Jossie. Again, Jossie of Au Naturel. Take it away, Jossie.
Yes. All right. So one thing I did want to mention today is how to care for your hair in the winter. And I know, it's getting colder out. The air is getting drier. And caring for our hair is very essential, especially when we spent all summer, growing our hair, keeping it healthy. And then when winter comes, we don't want it to just dry out and break off. So I've been working on different, like, I wrote up a blog post, and I've been working on putting together, like, some tips on how to care for your hair. And one of the main things to keep in mind is just to keep your hair moisturized and hydrated. Things dry out faster, like our skin dries out. Our hair is going to dry out as well. And you just want to make sure if you're the type of person that moisturizes your hair, like, maybe every other day or maybe, like, 2-3 times a week, you might want to start adding more moisture, like, more like every day, and also applying oil. Oil is going to be your best friend in the winter months. Some of the best oils for winter are the coconut oil, the almond oil, the olive oil, and herbal oils. And with the oils that I make, the herbal melange oil, I include all four of those oils in my herbal blend because
wow.
They have such high values, they have such great values for your hair in moisturizing, sealing in moisture. The oil is going to, you put it on your hair, it's going to act as a protectant because it will seal the moisture in and also keep the harsh air from
Jossie, what's the name of your product again that has all four of those oils in incorporated?
It's my herbal melange oil. It's my herbal melange oil blend.
Wow.
Just my regular hair growth oil, and it's good for all year round.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big thing right now with these winter months, as you know. Every single hair person who comes up, we're like, what can we do at this time? Because this, we technically get more questions about winter hair care than any other time of the year on this broadcast. So that tells you something. So I'm loving that. Okay, before I interrupt you, you go right ahead, Jonathan.
Oh, yes.
We're loving that this morning.
That's a mind. Make sure you have a good oil. And I would recommend either a blend of oils, or you can use straight coconut oil. You can use straight almond oil, olive oil. But those are the top three that are recommended for hair care. And like I said, my herbal melange oil also contains a whole, I have a lot of oils blended together that will help protect your hair in the wintertime. And just making sure your hair, you know, protective styling, covering your hair, reducing the amount of heat, those are the different things you want to just keep in mind for your hair in the wintertime if you want it to continue to flourish and grow and you don't want it to break off.
Mm. Now, Jossie, you always tell us, and you're kind enough to come on the show and share all these wonderful tips. We love it. We appreciate it. But you also have a website as well. So I just want to remind everybody and you know, how they can always go and get more details. I know you have a lot of information there for everybody as well.
Yes, I can be reached. My website is www.jossiesallnatural.com. And it's spelled like JOCEYSAUNATURALE.com. And my website right now is only set up for domestic shipping, but I do have an Etsy as well for domestic and international shipping.
Mm, important, folks, okay? We're going to make some links over to our website as well on HAIRadio.com. Which will make some links over to Jossie's site. So I just wanted to touch on that. Jossie, I love all of this. This is great. Now, have you been getting some feedback? You've been on the show a little bit. You've had an opportunity to kind of introduce and kind of feeling your way out there some. But have you heard some of the folks contacting, or any of the fans, even your social media folks who have comments?
Yes, and, you know, different. I have had some feedback, and you know, some people wanted me to mention more about my men's products, my children's products, because I talk a lot about. You know,
I'm actually raising my hand right now. Yes, I'm raising my hand. I love that. You know, that's big to me, and I really mean it. Jossie's going to be like, I'm cutting in on her, but listen, I have to really say. The men's line, the children's line, I cannot stress enough. Of course, you make amazing products that, you know, are focused, you know, for women and women hair care and all of that, which is fantastic. But I have to really say, it's great to hear some of my industry colleagues who have their own product companies like Au Naturel and Jossie at Au Naturel, who say, listen, we haven't forgotten about the rest of the family. And so I tip my hat to you every single time you're on this broadcast, as you know, about that. So thank you for that. You know, so on behalf of all the men of America and all around the world, I have to say thank you to Jossie of Au Naturel for not forgetting about the fellas. So, Jossie, I'm sorry. back over to you.
speaking of the men products, I do, you know, I have the hair face body lotion and the hair enhancing cream. And those two products, men are very basic sometimes with their hair. So those two products are going to be, they have everything that you would need just to wash your hair and put it in, and you'll be good to go. My brothers use it. A lot of other men use it. And it's something simple but natural, something that's not going to cause them a lot of work because, you know, when things cost a lot of work or take a lot of time,
we drop off.
Yeah. We don't want to do it. So I try to keep my product as simple as possible. Even my shampoo, for instance, I made it like a conditioning shampoo so you don't have to worry about shampooing and then conditioning later. You can just do it all at one time and you can just wash and go with the shampoo that I make.
Wow. And you know, a lot of the product companies out there, a lot of the product folks, they have all these fancy names. Does your shampoo have a name and all that wonderful good stuff?
I just have it. I have it named by like the fragrance, and I just call it conditioning shampoo. Like I have 4 different fragrances. Mm-hmm. Like lavender, coconut hibiscus, eucalyptus mint, and a citrus one. Citrus bird.
You know what I've noticed with the shampoos, and I do it even for my own shampoo and stuff. You know, when I'm buying shampoo, and I have to say, what always catches my attention is the smell. When we take off that cap and we smell it, what can you tell us about the smells that the scent? I should say that's a much better word. The scent of your products.
Well, one thing I try to keep in mind with scenting all of my products, I try to keep in mind that everybody's different, and I try to make my scents more mild and more neutral. I try not to get anything too strong. Mm. However, like for my eucalyptus mint is a strong scent for my shampoo. I have noted on my website that this is a stronger fragrance. As far as like the different scents that I use, I try to keep them, like I do research and stuff. For my men's products, my children's products, I research to see, you know, the medium, so to speak.
Exactly,
with,
because
knowing
you
that,
know.
For
me, I love smelling the floral scents, like on women's hair and all that. I think it's, you know, I love it. I love all that, all the botanical smells and all of that, and just. But we have to, like you said, you have to bear in mind because there are so many other components to that you want it to work with whatever sense that the person is adding externally, you know,
exactly.
And not to be overwhelming. So it sounds like you have attacked that with a plum at Josie's Row Naturals. Yes.
I have, and that's really important because we don't want, you know, we don't want our hair smelling super strong and then our body smells different.
And clashing. Clashing with the other scents, you know, that you got going on. So good stuff. Okay, Josie, I have to remind everybody again, folks, if you're just kind of joining us, you're just tuning in. We're actually live this morning on this Wednesday morning. And I've got to talk to you a little bit as well, Josie. We'll take a moment and chat about that. It is Wednesday morning. It's the 1st of December of 2021. It's really an honor to have you guys join us. With us on the line, as we mentioned at the top of this segment, we have a wonderful, wonderful mid-show Wednesday and Friday live contributor, and we're chatting with her now, Josie. You guys have been listening to her talk about Au Naturel, her amazing products, but she's also taken the time to put together some helpful tips. As you guys heard, she led off with some winter hair care tips on how to care for your hair. Which it's really exciting, and it's wonderful to have you again be part of this whole thing, Josie. So we're loving it.
Thank you.
And you're doing a great – and let me just say, you're doing a great job, by the way. You really are. You're doing a fantastic job. So just a reminder to folks. And then a little later on in a program note, coming up after Josie this morning, so about 8 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Central time, we're being joined by one of the top TV attorneys, literally, in America. Her name is Lisa Bloom. You guys know her. She's been on Court TV. She's got the long, beautiful bonnet. Nice lady. And so that's Lisa, right? But Lisa's mother is, of course, Gloria Allred. You have all these amazing ladies, and they are in the court, helping these women, these victims of these big names. So Lisa's going to straighten it all out and clarify all this and tell us what we need to be paying attention to when we're listening to some of these cases. She's literally in the courtroom as we speak today with some of these wonderful things that are happening in New York, and we'll get into all that. So I just wanted to take that program note. And now, Josie, I've got to say, we're turning back to the hair talk this morning. And again, we're happy to have you on with us to cover some of this because, you know, we do a lot. And just a reminder to folks, the Hair Radio Morning Show is 6 to 9 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday mornings, of course. But the focus is it's hair, beauty, and community. So we invite you guys to be part of the conversations, whether it's on hair, beauty, or community. So there we go. So there, I'm going to have to just say, Jossie of Au Naturel, we're turning it back to you this morning.
Yes. Thank you. We were speaking of winter hair, and one thing I did actually write down was our hair and skin. Now I just recently started, somebody gave me the idea to start making body butters. And speaking of dry hair, our dry skin is something that's really critical and something that really needs to be taken care of and paid attention to in the wintertime, because your hair, your skin will crack sometimes if it's too dry with the cold air. And so I started making organic body butters that has like organic shea and organic coconut oil. And I've used that to try to, try to like get people more into caring for their body, caring for their skin, and just like more self-care. I took it and
Joan used to say, can we really talk this morning? I'm one of those folks, and I'm raising my hand. I ash up. I'm just going to go ahead and put it on out there. So, I'm always a little gray around the knees and the elbows. I just have to go ahead and say, so when you guys see, you're going to be imagining my gray elbows. But no, it's not that bad. But so would this body butter work for those parts like that where, we just need a little bit of extra care, so to speak, Jossie?
Yes. Yes, it will.
Awesome.
And the thing is, I did a little something different with this body butter, and I let it simmer in a way. And by by cooking it for a long period of time, because you have to heat it in like a double boiler method to like mix the oils and stuff. And then once it cools, I whip it. And by doing that, it makes it like kind of changes the texture. So it's like it's real, real creamy. It's so easy to apply. And it just absorbs very well into dry skin. It's my first time trying it, but so far, I've gotten great reviews back, and it's men and women like it, which is a surprise.
I want an order. Okay.
Yes.
I want an order of this. I love body butters. I really do. So I'm raising my hand again. All right, Jossie, we're going to take a little bit of a tiny little commercial break. We'll be back on in a moment or two, and we're going to continue with some of this amazing hour preparation and things that Jossie's going to share with us. So stay tuned. You don't want to miss the rest of this. We, like I said, Jossie, you're with us for the hour. You doing okay so far?
I'm doing great, yes.
You are doing fabulously. So listen, here's a little bit of a commercial break again. Jossie, thanks so much, and stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion from roots to ends. Come on to visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNaturale.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
And I listen every day to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
This is Crystal Jones Bond, and we are celebrating the Year of the Woman on the Hair Radio Show.
I don't know what time it is. Look at here. It's the Hair Morning Radio Hair Show with Carrie Hines. It's your boy, Smooth Black. I just want to say, thank God for this company, y'all. Y'all better be blessed. The Hair Radio Nation going to the next level, y'all. Get it, 2021. God bless.
Time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is Wednesday morning, December 1st of 2021, and it's our broadcast show number 636. My very special co-host for the hour, you guys know her now, it's Jossie of Au Naturel. And she's giving us amazing tips and so much more sharing with us this morning. Jossie, again, good morning and welcome so much to the show. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you again. Yes.
Yes, I'm super, super hyped. I think I was just listening to some of the announcements. We have just one other that I wanted to remind everybody. We've updated our website at hairadio.com. We're going to have to put something there with you as well, Jossie. We'll get some wonderful banners that talks about Au Naturel to share that on our website as well and some links over to your site. We would love to do that and just remind everybody, absolutely, because you're going to be with us now. So this is, you know, just not waving and getting everybody to just, you know, fall in love with Jossie's voice each Wednesday and Friday morning and then goodbye. No, no, no. This is the beginning of a long relationship here. All the fans, you know, and I have to say, let me tell you something. The one thing is the fans really will let you know, and I have seen nothing but positive reviews and things and all of that since you've come on board. Nobody, nothing at all bad to say. So you are doing great. And with that in mind, we have to acknowledge everybody. You guys heard Jossie's Au Naturel commercial right here on the broadcast. We also have our amazing fans who I have to say, because these are folks who tune in daily to our broadcast, and I want to shout them out because I didn't have a chance to do that in a while. We have folks in Australia. We have the folks up in Canada. We have as well as over in Africa. I don't want to forget anybody. And in Africa, like I said, we have different parts, mostly West Africa and Ghana and Nigeria, South Africa and up in Egypt and just across the diaspora of the continent. So we just welcome you so much. And to, like I said, all of Europe and just everybody in South America, everybody, we just love you for tuning into the broadcast. We're going to do our best to make sure you have the best in hair and beauty talk and great content like we're bringing to you today with Jossie. So thank you so much. Jossie, we have to shout out our fans on the show and just remind them, right? So good stuff. Okay. Jossie, now you have prepared some things for everybody this morning. So I'm going to let you go on and continue in this next segment. So go right ahead. Jossie of Au Naturel, take it away.
Yes. All right. This is something that this is a big thing going on amongst mostly the African-American community and some of the Spanish, but it does affect everybody of all race, and it affects both genders. It's traction alopecia.
Wow.
And traction alopecia is, you know, when your hair starts, your hairline starts receding because of repetitive tension, like repetitively pulling a hair back and like tight ponytails or braids or however, like if you're constantly putting something on the front of your hair, you're going to pull your hair back. And that's the big thing that people are worried about. People are worried about their edges nowadays. How to grow my edges, how to grow my edges, how to grow my edges.
Yes, yes. That's right.
And that is something that is, it can be reversed, however, but it can be permanent if you continue to have repetitive tension. If you're continually getting your hair braided really, really tight or putting on things that's going to take your edges back, it's not going to get any better. It's going to eventually get to the point where it's going to be hard to grow hair. But there are some people that have been reaching out to me asking how to grow it back. They're trying to reverse effect, basically. They're trying to grow back their edges and grow back their hair. And one of the biggest things with that is massaging. And I just stress this so much with everybody I talk to who are trying to grow their edges back or bald spots or like thinning spots, is I tell them to, if they're using my product, I usually give them the Herbal Melange sample oil. And I tell them to put that on there and just massage it. Just massage it like every day to try to get the blood circulating in those spots again, because then once the blood is circulating, it'll eventually help your hair start growing back. And you just want to be real gentle with it, because those hairs are going to probably be a little bit more fragile than your other hair. They're going to be softer. So you're going to have to, you know, be real gentle massaging it and making sure that you're taking care of it so you're not breaking it off as it's trying to grow back.
Absolutely. I have to tell you, this, when it comes to traction alopecia, this is a subject that is very near and dear to my heart. And I say this because, Jossie, we've been doing the Hair Radio Show in different variations for the last 25 years. We were the first on broadcast radio to ever talk about hair and beauty on a daily basis, period. And we have the most cache of hair recorded information in the world, period. But the one thing that has been a constant over 2.5 decades has been women and stylists, but particularly women coming on the show and talking about, like you said, their edges, about, spots and this and that, the issues with thinning hair, and particularly as a result of the, the tension. And my big thing is that they've come on the show, they said this, but the organizations that are mostly out there do not address this. And for the most part, now, yes, they touch on some of the other alopecias and things like that, and, not quite as common as the others, and there are many different types, but it's very rare, if at all, that I hear them touch on traction alopecia, if at all. And so I applaud you for that. Yeah, and I really mean that. And you guys, you know what I'm saying out there. You go to some of the websites out there on alopecia. They talk about every other alopecia under the sun, but nothing on, or very little on, traction alopecia. And this is something that affects, particularly to me, in our community, women of color, exponentially. And so, thank you for taking the time to let this be a concern and something that you have addressed with your products at Au Naturel. So thank you. Really good stuff.
Yes, no problem. And, I'm here for questions, and that has been a recurring question and something that, and even like just not even alopecia, I've had people who are experiencing thinning hair, hair loss.
Yes.
I'm working with different people, somebody that has cancer, somebody that's completely bald, and people who are balding, just to try to see, if my products will help grow their hair back, if it will help them to be able to thicken their hair and get it nice and healthy again. So it's something I try to do.
Exactly. Well, you're doing it. And the thing is, we have to get you, Jossie, in front of some of the professional stylists out there as well. to incorporate Jossie's Au Naturel products even more so in my belief system, because I think along with the education of what to do to make sure that these scalps are stimulated and you know, and growing and regrowing or whatever could be done to salvage and rectify these, some of these situations, it really, you know, this is something to keep the pressure on and keep this conversation going, please, on you know, on what you're doing at Jossie's for these folks, Jossie's Au Naturel route. Okay, so, all right, Jossie, now I know you had something else that was on your list of things to share with the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show today. Let just remind everybody, we're live today. It's Wednesday morning, December 1st, 2021, our show number 636, on this December 1st. Wow. And it's about 7:35 in the morning. So please continue, Jossie.
Yes. All right. You're definitely putting me on a hot seat today.
Well, I have some questions that I can certainly toss that out to you from folks who have asked us over the period of time. And I love that you have addressed shampoo, so to speak, and it was a subject that we kind of, you know, kicked off today's you know, segment with. But I have to say, choosing the right shampoo, what are some of the things we should consider? Should we consider our hair texture or should we not? Should we consider how often we should wash our hair or should we not? Should we just use whatever is in the darn, you know, cabinet in the bathroom or should we not? Does this require research or does it not? So those are some of the questions that I tend to get here on the Hair Radio Morning Show over the years, particularly when it comes to washing your hair and what are some of the best shampoos to use. And so, Jossie, I'm going to put you on the hot seat on that one. So tell us again and give us your amazing, you know, advice on this.
You know, that's actually a tricky question about what's the best and what's not, because we all have so many different, like, there's so many different types of shampoos. We all have different hair textures, and we're all trying to do different things with our hair. Some people want to grow their hair. Some people just want to maintain length. Some people, you know, everybody has a different, somebody might have dry scalp. So the shampoos, one thing I do recommend, though, as far as ingredients and what's in shampoos, is reading if they have any alcohol in it. Alcohol is bad for your hair, regardless of what type of hair texture you have or hair type. Alcohol can be very damaging. The drying product, and it strips your hair of the nutrients and the oils that are naturally in your hair. Alcohol will strip it out. And it's, once you do that to your hair, once it's dry, once your hair dries, like air dries, it's going to be really brittle. And it's going to take a lot to try to re-moisturize it after you just stripped everything out of it. So that's definitely an ingredient that you want to be very mindful of when washing your hair, is the alcohol content. And if there's anything you don't understand on these shampoo bottles, I recommend researching those products to see how it will affect your hair, especially if you're trying to grow your hair, because it's not going to be effective if you're stripping it all the time.
I'm loving this. And, you know, speak to your professionals. You guys out there, you have your hairstylists. You know, make sure that they're aware of what products you're using at home. And, you know, and like you said, read those labels. That's something, if I see alcohol, I'm running in the other direction as well. Big thing. Now, with that being said, after they've shampooed their hair, replenishing those nutrients, what is a great suggestion for doing something like that, or how often, or, you know, in terms of conditioning, blah, blah, blah? What should we say?
Well, you know, conditioning is actually a great step in washing your hair. If you're going to wash your hair and, like, you know, shampoo, you're taking it all out, all the, you know, cleaning your hair of all the dirt and everything else, you want to add the moisture back in. Some people choose to do deep conditioning. Some people just stick conditioner in and rinse it back out, or they might let it sit. Others might put conditioner in and let it sit under a heat lamp, or not a heat lamp, a heat cap. But
yes.
I have a lot of hair, but I'm very busy, and I don't condition my hair, like, regularly. I literally just, I wash my hair, and when I'm done, I put in a leave-in conditioner because I know I don't want to rinse that back out. I'll stick a leave-in in, and I'll just let that sit in there. And usually by the next day, my hair is still nice and bouncy, and I might start applying moisture, like, every other day after that. But my leave-in conditioner is, like, my go-to product after I wash my hair.
That is fantastic. Chassie, want to remind everybody, we're going to take a little break, but want to remind everybody again about your website and what we can direct them to do, you know, go there and look at some of the wonderful things that you're sharing about all that you're talking about today, your products and all that wonderful good stuff. How do they gain access to Chassie?
Yes, my website is www.jossiesallnatural.com. It's JOCEYSAUNATURALE.com. And that's for domestic shipping right now. I do have an Etsy as well for international and domestic. I also can be reached via social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, and I try to post different hair tips. And the big thing, like I mentioned earlier, is going on right now is taking care of your hair in the winter and the body butter, taking care of your hair in the
winter. Wow, winter hair care. And one of the other things, which I love that you're kind of, you know, in connection with that, when the folks leave out of the salon and they're trying to continue those regimens and being able to use the right products and all of that. And so we're just happy that you're able to address a lot of the needs of the entire family with hair care. And so that's what it seems like Au Natural is meaning to me. So I'm feeling this. Okay, good stuff. All right, let's take a little tiny break. And when we come back, now, I love your commercial, by the way. So we run it here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Jossie's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Jossie's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mist, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JOCEYSAUNATURALE.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
Clint Beast on the boom.
You niggas be tripping.
What up, bro? You rocking with Statewide Shit. I'm inviting everybody to take a look and listen to see what I got going on. You can catch me streaming on all music platforms under Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses. You can also find me on social media, Statewide Chip on Facebook, Statewide Chip Official on Instagram, and Statewide Chip or Statewide Bosses on YouTube.
Hi, I'm Kerry Hines. I want to shout out to superstar hairstylist, industry legend, and my friend, Troy Ballard, a.k.a. Smooth Black of Smooth Black Ink. He's a hair biz educator, entrepreneur, and yes, he's known for coloring, cutting, and complete hair care services for the whole family. And now, you can hear him right here on Wednesday mornings, live at 8:30 Eastern, all the way from Southern California. Now, he's sharing a few trade secrets and so much more right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay tuned. All right, we're back live. You're listening to an all-new edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. With me on the line, she's been really helping to hold it down here, at least mid-show, and that's Jossie from Au Natural. on this Wednesday morning. Here in New York, it's December 1st of 2021, and it's our show number 636. Shafi, I just want to, again, welcome you back, and I just want to remind everybody, now you are out of Pennsylvania. Tell everybody where you're located.
Yes, I am located in the Philadelphia area, a little bit outside of Philly, technically it's popular.
Yes.
But that's
my home, by the way.
Yeah. Philly, yeah. Philadelphia, King of Prussia. I'm in that area.
And what I love about the Philadelphia folks, you guys know I'm up here in Brooklyn, New York. I've been here now for a couple of decades, but, you know, my family's there in Philadelphia. Philadelphia has its own style. It has its own style. It's very unique, you know, and we just love it. So my thing is, when it comes to hair care, so you were talking about different textures and different types of, you know, everybody's hair is a little different, so your hair dresses everybody. But, you know, do you get that question a lot about what are the best products? You know, do people come up and, well, I guess, as you mentioned, they're contacting you through social media and all that. But do you get that in the Philly area a lot about, you know, it just seems that they're very focused on hair products and what's the best product that they can have out there and so forth and so on?
Yes, I do get that question. I can't say it's all from the Philadelphia area, though. I've been in different places. And I do get that question a lot. People want to know, like, what's the best product? And those type of questions are the hard questions to answer because there's so much out there, especially now with the whole natural hair thing going wild, so to speak. But there are some few ingredients. Like, people will ask me, a common question is, what do I use in my products? And there are some basic ingredients out there that most natural products have. And what I've kind of done with my products, don't contain a lot of ingredients. They don't. They're very simple. Very simple, but it works. So that goes to show that you can have, you can make a product out of just about anything. You don't need a whole lot of different things to make a hair product. And most of my products, I stick to like the organic side and natural, gentle ingredients, just because of sensitive skin. And you know, I want to. Very natural hair. I like simplicity. I am into things being, you know, all natural. So, you know, I like the organic shea, the organic coconut oil. Most of my products contain the shea, coconut oil. I use olive oil and a lot of just of the basic oils that everybody uses.
Yes, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's like, you it's know, a basic, I use, like, it's like a foundation. If you, like, look up products and you see the ingredient list, most of the ingredients are going to be very similar.
That is just, you know, that's, and like I said, that's a big thing out there. And I just wanted to let you know, and to the folks who are tuned in, that we're doing something. I just want to remind everybody, because I'm hoping that we can, you know, share some samples and things with our listeners, and we're going to contact Joss and see what we can do out there, whether, you know, on and really getting some additional education. And Jossie, you're not too far from us down in the Philly area. We're going to have to bring you up to New York. We have a big event that's happening over the Valentine's Day two-day weekend period, so to speak. Valentine's Day in 2022 is on a Monday, so it's the 14th, Monday the 14th of February in 2022. And so our event, which is that Sunday and Monday, we have 2 days of workshops and education. That's Sunday and Monday. Here in Brooklyn, New York. So I want to make it clear. It's happening in downtown Brooklyn, New York. It's actually, it's a Hilton Hotel property, and it's right near the Junior's Restaurant. So on Flatbush. It's really, really great. And we'll, you know, you can go to hairstylistworkshop.com. That's hairstylist with a T, workshop.com. And there are some details there. We have a whole bunch of information there at hairradio.com. And We're hoping that you come up and bring some of those amazing products now, and we'll set up some things that you can share and talk to the fans live and in person. So we're hoping you can at least come in for a little bit and be a special guest at our two-day Valentine's Day event in February. So, Jossie, there's your invite live on the airwaves.
Yes, all right.
Well, we'll let you check your calendar and get back to us. We're not gonna put you on the spot. But it's a great fit, and that's what's so important. And you know, we start off this by talking a lot about proper hair care going into the winter months. And as I said, we get more inquiries about the winter hair care than we do any other time of the year. And it's still a big thing, and I love that you said about hydration. This is something that is really big, and you know, and so we appreciate that. And is that the takeaway tip for today?
Yes, it is, especially since it's getting cold out, and you know, we're going to be dealing with this for the next few months. So,
yeah,
keep that in mind and start your winter hair now. Now's a good time to start. I actually just took my I had braids in. I just took them out, and yes. I'm starting my winter hair.
Yes, now is the time. So, and what about all these protective styles around this time of the year? You get a lot of that where, you know, you basically your hair is in hibernation, if you will. What do you say about something like that, you know, on that?
Depending on your hair type, and depending on the length and how you want to do it, protective styling, you can do it with your natural hair. You can do it with synthetic hair. Like I mentioned earlier about the tract to alopecia, though, you want to be aware of that if you're going to get your hair braided. Just as something just to keep in the back of your head that you know you could eventually find yourself having hairline retention. I actually I do my own. I put in synthetic hair just because it helps it last longer. For me, but I'll have the braids in, but I still apply the oil. I was doing it every other day. Now in the wintertime, I might even do it every day, depending on how dry my hair is getting. But even though your hair is in a protective style, you still want to make sure you're applying something on your hair to kind of act as a barrier against the cold weather and the harsh elements out there.
And I have to say, Jossie, we are going to continue these conversations on proper hair care because I think it's also, you know, to me it's also about, you know, like I said earlier, when we talk about, and you have talked about this with the traction alopecia, I think a lot of it has to do with education. And so what about, educating the young folks, particularly the young girls who on proper hair care techniques and all of that. Is it a way that, and also incorporating and introducing the right hair products, like you mentioned with Jossie's All Natural products. But is there a way that should be done? Because I think if you can catch and educate the young people so that they kind of grow up with, you know, avoiding the pitfalls or going in that lane with the traction alopecia, blah, 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 or et cetera, shall we say. What can you say? You know, shouldn't we educate the youth more or kind of take them and, you know, especially since you make products for children as well, so.
Yes, and, you know, growing up, when I was younger, we used hair grease, and my little sisters now have better hair care than we did growing up because my mom, you know, we weren't aware of the products to use in our hair, and it was always like hair grease, and it wasn't like anything. I mean, sometimes we would use a leave-in conditioner, but you know, leave-in conditioners sometimes they can have alcohol in them and cause dry hair, so. It was basically whatever's on the shelf, whatever's the cheapest that we just grabbed and used. But that doesn't necessarily mean that our hair was the healthiest. And something that, you know, a lot of people, especially amongst the African-American community, I just want to stress that water. We don't, you know, our hair is different, and most women don't like to put water in their hair because it might cause shrinkage or it might make their
hair
change the texture of it. But
good
water
point.
Is going to be your moisturizer. And you don't have to saturate your hair, but you definitely need the water because the water is what's going to add the moisture and it's going to help open up your pores so your hair and your scalp will absorb product you're trying to put in your hair. And
wow.
I have to
I'm just
stress that.
It. Wow.
Yes.
Yes.
With my one sister, she has 4C hair, and she would do her hair, and her hair would still be dry. And so the one day I went to her house, and I did it for her, and it stayed moisturized. And I was telling her, and I tell my mom, like, make sure you're putting more water in your hair. Like, you have to make sure your pores are open so the product will absorb, because if the product's just sitting on it, it'll still moisturize for maybe a few hours, and it'll dry up again because it's not in your hair. It's just on your hair.
Exactly. I'm loving this. I have to say, that's one of the secrets. But see, as a guy, I can get away with it, so to speak. You know, I don't have, you know, any particular style, you know, so the water and just keeping it hydrated, it's been my real secret weapon. You know, so I'm just so thankful to hear folks like you who run these companies, these hair product companies, to share, you know, the real things that particularly women should be doing out there. If they are looking to have healthy hair, and that's what everybody wants, women, men, the whole family. So it's about healthy hair, right? So listen, I have to say, Jossie, again, we just appreciate having you on the show. And I want to kind of remind everybody, if you guys are just kind of joining in, you might have missed this. We play back the entire 3-hour episode. We make it available through our social media. So you guys on Twitter, my Twitter handle is at HAI Radio. Very simple, very short, at HAI Radio. So that is my Twitter handle for the Hair Radio Morning Show. And also on Facebook, we're here. You can Google us. I tell everybody, Google the 5 words, The Hair Radio Morning Show. If you Google that, all of our, over 600 episodes will pop up. So you'll be listening for a long time to a lot of our recent broadcasts and all of that. So we just, you know, we just love having folks like Jossie who come on and, like I said, give us the tips and help particularly women who are tuned in. You guys heard earlier it was the Year of the Woman on our show. We're still in that year. And looks like we'll be extending it over to next year very soon. But, Jossie, I have to say, this is great hip pocket information. So before you go, you got to tell everybody again. And, again, we're going to make the links from hairradio.com over to your site. But give us all your deets, your details again for folks out there this morning.
Yes, so my website is jossieallnatural.com. That's you can spell it's spelled JOCEYSAUNATURALE.com. And I do have an Etsy as well for international purchasing and shipping. And I could be found on social media. I have so far Facebook and Instagram. So you can reach out to me on there for any questions. You can also reach out to me through my website as well.
I have to say, Jossie of Au Natural, we just appreciate having you. Now, I want to remind everybody again, Wednesday and Fridays, mid-show, Jossie is bringing the live mid-show hair talk between 7 and 8 a.m. Eastern. And if you're in a central time zone, that is between 6 and 7 o'clock in the morning where you guys are. But we're happy to have her. And thanks again. Now, on Friday, is there anything we should look forward to from Jossie? Jossie, can you give us, I loved your feedback, how you had, gone through a lot of the feedback and the questions that folks were sending in. Can you please bring some of that back on Friday if you get a chance?
Yes, I definitely will.
Oh, awesome. All right. Well, anything you, any last words to leave us with this morning from Jossie's Au Natural?
No, basically just, keep your hair healthy.
Stay
keep
tuned.
Your body healthy. Yep, stay tuned.
Yes.
Have a great winter.
We're loving it. Okay. Well, listen, thank you, Jossie. And you just have an awesome Wednesday. For you guys out there who have tuned in, We've got a whole another hour to go coming up. And Jesse, thanks so much for being with us. Okay, we'll see you back here on Friday mid-show at 7.
No problem.
All right, enjoy. All right, folks, now coming up next, we have at 8 o'clock just an amazing interview in just a couple of minutes with none other than television's Lisa Bloom. You guys know her. She is a TV attorney, one of the top TV attorneys out there. And we have a special conversation. You don't want to miss it. It's and I'm real excited about it because it's a unique inside look. She talks to you directly, so you're going to be really in the know on some of these amazing court cases and how we should look at the information. It's hip pocket information. It's very it's exclusive. It's an exclusive interview. So we're going to take a little bit of a commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm. So stay with us. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. We've got a lot more to go. Stay with us, folks.
Hi, I'm Jossie from Joss's All Natural. Have you been struggling with keeping your natural hair healthy or desire to achieve substantial hair growth? Then Joss's All Natural is here to help you. My natural creams, conditioners, lotions, hair mists, balms, shampoos, and detanglers are gentle enough for the whole family and all hair types. Not only do I provide natural hair products, I also give step-by-step techniques to ensure healthy hair in a pure and gentle fashion, from roots to ends. Come on and visit me at www.jossiesallnatural.com. That's JossiesAllNatural.com for a true natural hair experience like you've never had before.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com. Providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Kerry Hines. Now, my very special guest joining us right now, you guys know her. She's been with us before. Very recognized name out there in the world of law. It is my honor to bring back to the Hair Radio Morning Show the one and only Lisa Bloom. Good morning, and welcome back
to
the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Now, Lisa, I want to jump right on in. There's so much going on. There's so many trials and cases and so many things happening out there. We had to go right straight to the very best. And so you were certainly on that short list. Lisa, tell us now, you are doing something very important with your work at the Bloom Firm. So you guys are, what is this where you're kind of like monitoring this big case here in New York with the, you know, it's all about the Jeffrey Epstein case. It's tied into that. Her name is Ghislaine Maxwell. What can you tell us about all of this and make sense to
us? So for several years now, I have fought for justice on behalf of 8 victims of Jeffrey Epstein, and he's the very wealthy financier who is accused of sexually abusing underage girls and young women. I represented 8. We fought for them in litigation here in New York for several years, and we ultimately won victory, significant settlement awards for all 8, I'm very proud to say.
Wow.
One of those victims also has allegations against Ghislaine Maxwell, his longtime friend, confidant, girlfriend, assistant. She wore a lot of different hats. There's now a criminal trial underway here in New York for Ghislaine Maxwell. Jeffrey Epstein took his own life in 2019, so we can't get justice against him, but this trial is now against Ghislaine Maxwell. And so I'm here on behalf of my clients to monitor the trial, to keep an eye on it, and to be a voice for the victims, because I think that's where the focus should be, on the tremendous pain that these 2 people caused to so many people,
the lifelong psychological injuries that they suffer. And that's what I'm here essentially doing. And I sat through yesterday the opening statements so I could hear both sides. And now I've heard the first couple of witnesses and seen the first cross-examination of one of the victims. And it's very powerful stuff. But so far I'm optimistic that justice will be done.
Awesome, because that's what we wanted to find out. Now, Lisa, I just want to say that folks, so the whole thing is that she's been painted, Ghislaine Maxwell, as perhaps a scapegoat in all this. There are folks out there who are going to say, well, maybe she didn't do this, or maybe she didn't. I'm sure all this is going to come out in these days to come, but what can you say to folks? And I feel, you know, especially those folks that you represent, who and the, you know, the person who is really making this accusation against her. So, what do you say when you hear this? And you kind of you're hearing it, you know, firsthand right there inside the courtroom.
Yes.
What do you say?
Well, this is the primary defense. They began their opening
yes.
statement by saying, "Since the days of Eve and the apple, women have been blamed for the bad conduct by men." And that's a true statement, right? But in this case, the prosecution is proving their case against Ghislaine Maxwell, not against Jeffrey Epstein. And so they are constantly having the witnesses talk about what Ghislaine did. She was there. She participated. She lured the victims in. She was at his side. She was present, not for all of the sexual abuse, but for a lot of it. And I think that would be sufficient, that she knew exactly what was going on, and she brought girls into this environment where then they were abused. So she's not being scapegoated for what somebody else did. She's being tried for the actions that she took, the choices that she made.
I was about to say, and any knowledge of it or any part in it is too much, in my opinion.
That's right.
You know, so I have to say, we, you know, and the general public, and this is why I really wanted you to be on the show today, Lisa, because it's hard for us, GP, to kind of navigate some of this information. There's so much out there. I hate to even go to social media. There's so
yes.
much information going back and forth and on all the TV channels and all of that. So I wanted the fans of the show, because I heard different opinions popping up and all of this. I said, no, we've got to get some clarity on this. What should our takeaway be with some of these huge cases? And we'll definitely talk a little bit more, because I want to get a little bit more on this whole Jeffrey Epstein case and more with the Ghislaine Maxwell trial that's happening right now. But what do you say? How do we even navigate some of this stuff? I mean, it is just poor. And there's another big case starting. Like, my goodness.
Yeah, so there's a lot. And what I want people to understand is that every case is a very specific inquiry into the facts and the law of that case. A lot of the cases that we see are really not a good opportunity to make a political statement. So let's talk about Kyle Rittenhouse, for example.
Yes.
In my opinion, the left, and I'm a very progressive left-wing person, the left should never have made the Kyle Rittenhouse case into a political case. This is about a white guy who shot three other white people at a protest. I did not see this as a case that had to do with race. And almost the entire situation was caught on video, on multiple videos. So the only question there was, did he shoot in self-defense? That was the question for the jury. It was not a question about should he have been there in the first place. Should he have had a gun, because he legally could have that gun, because we have crazy gun laws in this country, in my opinion. Okay? So the only question was whether he should have been there or not, whether he should have had the gun or not. At the moment that he shot each of these three people, was he being threatened? And the video showed that he was. And so he was acquitted on self-defense. Now, you know, in my opinion, we need massive reform of our gun laws. We should never have a 17-year-old walking around in a provocative situation with an AR-15. That is completely crazy. And that is going to lead to people getting shot. So we need to reform our gun laws. And frankly, these protests did get that particular one. It did get out of control, and the police allowed that. That's unfortunate. So I represent three Black Lives Matter protesters who got shot by police. So there's a lot of wrongdoing to go around. But the Kyle Rittenhouse case, to me, should not have been one that was elevated to a big public discussion because I didn't think it was worth that. Now, the one that should have gotten more attention, in my opinion, was the Ahmaud Arbery case. That was
and tell us about that, yes.
Yeah, that was clearly about racism. It was a horrifying case. You know, I wrote a book about the Trayvon Martin case a few years ago and about the racism in the criminal justice system and how abhorrent it is. And the Ahmaud Arbery case reminded me a lot of the Trayvon Martin case. Here's a guy who's minding his own business, Mr. Arbery, jogging,
which he had
every right to do, just like Trayvon Martin was walking down the street, minding his own business
with
Skittles in his pocket.
Exactly.
And in both cases, the white guys who pursued them thought that they were criminals because of their skin color, because they thought that other people who were black in the past had committed crimes. And so to attribute the wrongs of some black people to all black people is the very definition of racism. And that's what happened in the Trayvon Martin case. That's what happened in the Ahmaud Arbery case. And in the Ahmaud Arbery case, we have three white guys who chose to follow him to try to get him to pull over. Of course, he got scared because he's being followed by these random guys in a pickup truck. How scary is that? And ultimately, when they accosted him, he fought back. And then they tried to say that self-defense. No, you can't assault someone, and then when they fight back, you claim self-defense. That's ridiculous. That's what they claim.
Exactly.
And thank goodness the jury agreed, and the prosecution did bring racism into the case, which I was pleased to see because they failed to do that in the Trayvon Martin case. I thought that was a big mistake. They did talk about the racial angle of the case. It was clearly a hate crime, and thank God they were convicted, as they should have been. They should spend the rest of their lives in prison, which I'm sure that they will. So to me, is justice. Of course, it doesn't bring back the victim. My heart breaks for him and his family. You know, I have a dear friend who's African-American and who's a runner.
Yes.
And he says to me to this day, he's afraid to go out running in the morning. You know, he's a big black guy, lives in a white neighborhood, and he's afraid.
Yeah, I can certainly relate here in my section here in Brooklyn, New York, and I totally understand. It's just inside of you. But you know, I'll have to say this, and I totally agree with you 1,000%. This is something that I was already conscious of, not to be running down the street. And this was long before any case, because you have to understand that this is a potentiality right now. Well, you know, it's always been, but it's even heightened right now. Now,
you know,
I have to say,
says,
Lisa.
He goes running at 6 a.m., and he says, you know, it's cold. I want to wear a hoodie. But I'm a big black guy.
Oh, a hoodie.
You know, and I thought, it's my heart breaks. You know, it never, as a white woman, it never enters my mind that, like, I can't wear a hoodie if I'm cold.
That you can't wear a hoodie. That you can't make any sudden movements. And to be really honest with you, Lisa, what's really awful is that you don't even have to even be doing any of those things. You can just to be walking down the street, your mere presence, just as a black person, male in my case, is enough to make folks think of crime. You know, it's almost your color's been criminalized to a degree. And so what happens, unfortunately, this is what you have to kind of deal with on a daily basis, in and out, where folks grabbing their kids, they don't mean any harm. Don't ever think that they are thinking that you're going to attack their kids. It's almost subconscious at this point. You know, so I don't, I don't necessarily blame people. I get why they are like that, because this is what is, you know, channeled to us through so many different things. But Lisa, my big thing is, when I turn back to this case, and there's some big names tied to this Jeffrey Epstein case. And I shouldn't say that, because this is the Ghislaine Maxwell trial, that she's on trial for her, you know, alleged doings or what have you. So, but there's some huge names. Is there any, I mean, is that's kind of like part of the gossip, if you will, about it, or the unproven facts or what have you, where they're saying that maybe she knows something and she's not saying, and maybe she should be saying, and this is, you know, she's got big names to point out. And what is, you know, I'm like, what can we listen to? Lisa.
Yes. So that came into the trial today. The pilot.
Oh, really?
Epstein's plane. Yeah, he named some very prominent people who
were on
Epstein's private plane with him. He named Donald Trump.
Bill Clinton, the violinist, Isaac Perlman,
the actor Chris
Tucker, the actor Kevin Spacey, of all people, who has had his own...
He already has another set of things going on that he's been cleared of, I believe, at this point, but he's been through his own set of things.
Yeah, so Prince Andrew, of course, and the British
press
is all here because...
And that's a big one there.
Prince Andrew angle.
Prince Andrew
currently being sued for sexual abuse by one of Jeffrey Epstein's accusers, who says that Epstein sent her, basically, to Prince Andrew, trafficked her. So those names came in, and they came in this trial not to show there's some kind of vast conspiracy with all these people, and I'm sure that, you know, maybe some of them did not know what Jeffrey Epstein was up to behind closed doors. Maybe all of them didn't know. I don't know what they knew, but we know that they flew on the plane with him. But what I will say is that this was very intimidating to the victims. Now, the reason why it's being brought in is, you know, imagine being a 14-year-old girl and this wealthy man who's taken an interest in you is friendly with a former president, friendly with Donald Trump, who ends up being a future president. I guess they didn't know that at
exactly.
the time. But, you know, these very successful, big-name people.
Powerful,
and the victims
powerful
say
names.
That they talked about this all the time. They name-dropped to intimidate the victims and to terrify them into silence. You know, are you like a little no-name 14-year-old girl? Are you going to go up against that kind of people? I mean, there's no way. And that's why they took so long to come forward.
Wow. And I just, we're grateful that we have folks like the Bloom Firm that's doing the work, that's helping these women to have a voice. We are going to continue to follow this, and because it's just, we didn't quite know what we should have as our takeaway. And my other thing to you, and you mentioned it a little while ago, and I just want to get your take on it. The videos, the video footage. Lisa, why does it seem, and I think we might have touched on this the last time you were on our show, just a teensy bit, but why does it seem like the video footage, it's almost like you can't really trust what you see because of the way it's kind of spun, you know, like showing like incidents and things like that. So nothing necessarily particular, you know, specific because all of these things, you know, we're watching these different videos, and it's almost like each side kind of spins it the way that they, I guess that's what they're supposed to do. But why does it seem like we can't really trust what we see, or there's always something more to it? You know, shouldn't that be enough, these videos? Like, when I see them on, I'm like, oh, how is that so obvious? But there's more to it.
Let me answer that, and then I'm going to have to go. So,
video
footage is very important. Juries love it because they feel like video doesn't lie. Human beings might lie or might get things wrong, but there it is on video, right? And I think that was important, as I said, in the Kyle Rittenhouse case. It was also important in the Ahmaud Arbery case because these guys were idiotic enough to video some of what they did. Right?
Exactly.
But it's not the whole story because in the criminal law, we look at not just what happened, but the intent. Did somebody intend to do something? And we have to get inside their mind. And there's no video yet that gets inside of somebody's mind. Did they do something accidentally? Did they shoot in self-defense? Was it an intentional, premeditated act? In a civil case, we look at more than the video because we want to know what the damage is to the victim, how it affected their lives. And so the video shows part of a story, but it doesn't show the whole story. But I agree with you that video, I think that it is important. It's usually the most important piece of evidence when there is video in a case. Juries really like it. They look at it closely. Like the George Floyd case, thank God there was a video. I mean, as horrifying as it was,
absolutely.
Thank God there's that video that showed exactly what happened, and now that killer is behind bars, right? And
absolutely.
He's a police officer, and we saw the video, and it's just so horrifying. And look, millions of people took to the streets in the Black Lives Matter movement. I was one of them. Because we see what's happening, and it's just too much. It's too painful. So I think video is very important.
Lisa Bloom of the Bloom Firm. Your website, again, is thebloomfirm.com. Want to send folks there. And Lisa, can you please come back soon? We're going to get inside and get warmed up, and then come back soon to us here and keep us abreast of what's happening. Okay? You know how much we appreciate you. You've got it.
Thank you for having me. I'd love to hear from everybody on Instagram, where I am Lisa Bloom Esk, E-S-Q, like lawyer. Lisa Bloom Esk, and on Twitter, I'm just Lisa Bloom, and my website is thebloomfirm.com, and we're very proud to represent victims of discrimination, harassment, and abuse nationwide. Happy to hear from people and see if we can help them out. Carrie, thank you. You're a doll, as
you
always.
Got it.
And I look forward to
thank
talking
you.
To you again soon.
You got it. Thanks again, Lisa.
All right, take care.
Bye now.
Okay.
You got it.
Bye-bye.
Just to be stronger than me. You've been here 7 years longer than me. Don't you know you're supposed to be the man? Now pale in comparison to who you think I am. You always wanna talk it through. I don't care. I always have to comfort.
A man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
Just like the eyes are the window to the soul, the scalp is the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. The way to obtain it is with Stimulating Roots. Stimulating Roots will exfoliate and detoxify your scalp, promoting healthy hair growth. Stimulating Roots has a system to detoxify and grow your hair. Their shampoo combines menthol, camphor, and pink grapefruit essential oil to improve blood circulation in the scalp. Their conditioner, that stimulates, moisturizes, and hydrates the hair. The regeneration oil, that contains essential oils that work together to promote hair growth while calming an itchy, dry, and irritated scalp. Open the window to beautiful and luxurious hair. Awaken the senses to your scalp with Stimulating Roots. This is available at stimulatingroots.com. That's stimulatingroots, R-U-T-Z.com.
It's two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air. I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series, Talking About Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of The Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois. And that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets, and if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible, but we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest with us today. He's from the world of music. You know him. His name is Lenny Williams. Lenny, welcome to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Yes, we're happy to have you. Now, you have quite an expansive career in music. And the first thing that comes to mind when we think of Lenny Williams, you know where I'm going with this. Lenny, everybody recognizes you as... Yes.
Everybody wants to do the Yeah.
Exactly. How do you feel about that? I've always wanted to know that. How do you feel about being known as that the singer who... that's his tagline. How do you feel about that?
It's cool. I love it. You know, I mean, I've had songs that have been higher on the charts. Actually, "Cause I Love You" never was a single. You know, I've had songs that are in the top 10, and but this song seems to have distinguished itself. You know, it you know has a something that stands out, and so most definitely it's humbling and it makes me feel good that people can identify me with that.
Well, that's amazing. So "Cause I Love You" was never actually released as a single?
No, as a single. It was on just on the Spark of Love album. And I remember years later, MCA at that time, before it became Universal, wanted to do a single, and so they asked me to edit it, and then I tried it, and it didn't work. And then they had Andre Fisher, now the Cole's husband at the time, to try to do it, and they didn't like that. So it's never ever been a single.
Wow.
Seven and a half minutes, right? Yeah.
Wow. Yes, and it is quite popular, and it just stands. I guess it's such a great song that it just stands the test of time and just has reached and touched so many different individuals. So I know you have
it's
to perform that everywhere you go.
Yes. Yeah, if I don't do that, they're going to run me out of town.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you got to do that. And we can't get enough of it. So now, Lenny, I want to go back a little bit. I want to share with everybody. Yeah, let's go back. Where are you from? And, how did you get your start? Where are you from?
Well, I'm from Little Rock, Arkansas. That's where I was born. But I was actually raised in Oakland. Oakland, California. I came to Oakland when I was 18 months old. And my mom tells a story that she taught me how to say the Lord's Prayer. And so she invited some of the older women from the church. And she said, Leonard Charles knows how to say his prayers. And they gathered around. And so you'd like time for me to, say my prayers. And I said, Our Father. And then I threw my hands in the air and said, Hey, Baba Wee Bop, which was a hit song at that time. And so I guess I've just been listening to the radio and singing, all my life. And then I started playing trumpet in the fourth grade. And then I went to church with the Stewart family, which is Sly Stone and his family, with Walter Hawkins, Ed Hawkins, Jermaine Hawkins, Andre Crouch, Sandra Crouch, Billy Preston. I was kind of always around music and then after I kind of got out of church, we're hanging out with people like Huey Lewis and John Fogerty from Creedence Clearwater. So, just always, this has always been a part of my life. Yeah.
So those were some of the influences. Who were some of the others?
Well, I loved Sam Cooke when I was growing up, so I listened to the radio and, just trying to learn all the Sam Cooke songs. And my cousin and I, we went to school together, went to high school together, so we just grabbed us a carton of milk and some cookies, and we'd walk around and sing Sam Cooke songs and have a contest to see who could be the number one Sam Cooke imitator. And he'd always vote for himself, and I'd always vote for me. And so it was always a tie. Yeah, but that was my main man right there, Sam Cooke.
Wow. Well, I want to talk about the Tower of Power days as well. What can you tell us about that whole experience? We know that you then went on to your remarkable solo career, But what can you tell us in summary about your days with Tower of Power?
Yeah, the way I met the guys in Tower of Power was I did a record in like 1969 on Fantasy Records. And everybody was saying, well, when are you going to do a show? When are you going to do a show? And I'm like, I don't have a band. So a friend of mine introduced me to this guy, and he took me to Fremont, California, which is about 40 miles outside of Oakland to a suburb. And I went out there, and I met this young band, and they would call themselves the Motown Soul Band. So we started talking and hanging out and, you know, rehearsing and things, and then nothing ever came of it. And so fast forward a few years later, I was hanging out with Larry Graham, and we were writing songs, and Larry suggested we put some horns on it. So he said, I'm going to call the band Tower of Power. So they came over, and when they walked through the door, I'm like, oh, I remember these guys. They used to be the Motown Soul Band. So we got reacquainted, and then I started writing for them. And then they had a problem with their singer. And they said, well, you want to be the singer? You know, we have a problem with the guy that's the lead singer. I'm like, okay, cool. And so then we put out Still Very Hard to Go, and bam, he's number one. I think we recorded in December, by the end of January, it was number one. It was just just a trip, you know, just a band, you know, real music business, I would say.
Exactly. So then you began to carve out a career for yourself as a solo performer. I believe that you probably took a lot of those lessons and things from the group, you know, that you carried that forward with you. Am I right? No, you go ahead. Tell me. Okay.
Yeah, I was just going to say. Yeah, like Tom Power, I mean, yeah, Tom Power was a big group. You know, there was about 12 members in the band, and you know, we had two managers and you know, the roadies and everything. So I learned a lot of things that you should do to make a band work and you know, run efficiently. And then I learned, you know, a lot of things that you shouldn't do. You know, Tom Power had a lot of drugs. There's a lot of drugs in the band. You know, and a lot of drugs, alcohol, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, really, you know.
So
I've learned, you know, that those things can actually destroy your band's career, things like that. You know, so there were a lot of lessons to be learned, most of them were positive lessons. And so, you know, I was with the band for we did three albums, and then I left and started to, you know, return to my solo career.
Absolutely. Now, listen, I also like the fact that you worked with folks like Betty Wright and The Roots, of course. There is the song that you guys did. I believe it's, I think it's called Baby Come Back. It's just such a great song. What is it like when you get to, and that's just amongst many, of course, but what is it like when you get an opportunity to work with these other legendary artists?
Well, you know, just like I was just sitting around and the phone rang, and it was like, I answered, hey, baby, Betty Wright on the phone. I'm like, oh, okay, what's up, you know? And she's like, hey, I'm doing this song, I want you to do it. And I said, okay. And I said, I'm going to send it to you. And she said, you tell me what you think. So she sent it to me, and I listened to it. And on the computer, and then she said, well, I said, I like it. She said, well, this is what I want you to do. And so she told me what to do, and so I went to the studio, and I did it, then I sent it back to her, and then she said, well, I want to do a little bit more of this, a little bit more of that, and I said, okay, send it back. She said, well, okay, man, yeah, don't do too much over there, you know, Betty, you know, she knows her music, right? And finally she's like, oh, I'm loving it, so I wanted to hear her laughing, and she seemed like she loved it. And so that's just how it came by, and I was just like so excited and so honored, you know, to do the song with Betty, because she's a class act and a legend,
absolutely,
you know, herself, and most definitely.
Absolutely. Well, it is a fabulous song, let me say that. So definitely for you guys out there. Now let's talk about your music, the current music, and also some of the projects, of course, that you had along the way. What are some of the things that you're working on these days?
Yeah, well, I just did an album called Still in the Game, and, you know, did that, I think, in 2012, and, you know, we're still working, you know, and promoting that, and then I've been doing some plays, and then also I, spent a lot of time down south and in Chicago, and, you know, people love the blues, so I've kind of incorporated some blues into my show, And so people would always say, well, what's on my CD? Is that blues on there? And I'm like, no. And so I was like, you know, I'm going to cut me a couple blues songs, you know, and put on the CD.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in here recently and did that. And then so somebody heard it, and they were having the blues tour, the blues is all right tour. And they said, well, you want to be on that? And I'm like, yeah. So now I'm on the blues tour. You know, I'll be doing that all of March and some of April. And, well, actually starting in February, February 27th, down in New Orleans, and then all of March. And so just excited about that. And, you know, it's just tremendous to be able to go back and do things like gospel and the blues because they, you know, they're the roots of our music here in the United States, you know, in America.
Absolutely. Yes. Folks, if you've just joined us, you're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and we have a music legend with us today. His name is Lenny Williams. Lenny, I just want to welcome you again to the Hair Radio Morning Show.
Hey, it's my pleasure. Most definitely my pleasure.
Now, I have to say, and we kind of just moved a little bit past that, but I do want to talk about Still in the Game. You have a lot of great songs on there that I really, me personally love, and I'm sure everybody out there feels the same way. What was it like in doing a lot of those songs for that particular CD? And I remember you did one that I love, and I have to think of it now that I'm on the spot. But what was it like for you doing all of those? Well, I like that one, too. That's one of my favorites, too. I like Still. I like it was the one
that got away.
Well, that I like, too. And we have all these songs going on. But there was one other one that you did, In My Mind. And you tell me which CD that was on. Yes. That was on that CD. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Oh, that was on the other CD. Okay. Sir, you are a singing man, and we love it. We love it. You know, they're just there's just something about these songs that you do that are just fantastic. Obviously, so Still in the Game. I'm sorry, Still in the Game is still out there, and folks can pick it up and hear some of these other songs that you have. Okay. All right. Well, now, and you were just saying about the blues. So now you're kind of moving into that territory. What is it like to kind of make that transition, and how do you feel about it?
You know, when I do my shows, all I do is blues, you know, but, you know, because I'm, you know, I feel like to be true to who I am and where I've been.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go on stage, I try to, you know, sing all of the, you know, the songs from the various eras that I've been, you know, been singing. So I'm, you know, the Tower Power stuff, the stuff that I did after I left Tower Power, the songs I did with Kenny G on the Duotones album, and then now, you know, incorporating a couple of blues songs into my repertoire, and then basically, you know, so that way, whoever is in the audience, they get a little bit of the Lenny Williams that they came to see. And, you know, so it's just been tremendous and great reception. People seem to love it. And, you know, and so, you know, we just keep on marching on.
I hear you, sir. Now, tell us about the music of today. How do you feel about some of these younger performers, some of these new artists who are out? I know quite a few of them have already sampled your music, so we kind of have an idea how they feel about you. But how do you feel about them and the music that they're doing these days?
Well, there's some good artists out there, you know. I mean, like Neo and you know, different people like that, Beyonce, you know. So definitely, like, you know, like them, and you know, then, you know, the rap. I like rap music too, you know. I mean, sometimes I think some rap artists are lyrically challenged. I mean, I would say that the way they do their lyrics, even the stuff that I don't like, are. It's great. I mean, I listen to the way they compose their lyrics and things like that, and it's like it's sensational, and I see why it sells. But I think that you know, some of them, you know, limit themselves because, you know, with the, you know, a lot of the profanity and things like that, and it's like, well, what if you get a call from Disney and they want you to do a song for nine-year-olds if all you can do is, you know, swear, you know, and use profanity, then you're going to miss out on that million-dollar contract. You know, so, you know, I think that people need to broaden, you know, their scope a little bit. But, you know, I think, you know, it's their day, you know. And so, I mean, who am I to get in the way and you know, overly critique what they do? You know, I listen to what I like, you know, what I like and what I don't like, I change and turn the channel. You know, I'm sure that, you know, people, when my music comes on, if they like it, they listen to it. If they don't like it, they turn the channel. So, you know, we're all entitled to do. But for the most part, I like, you know, what's going on. I can turn the radio on and listen to it coming to the club, and you know, I'm like, hey, I'm tapping my feet. I feel like getting out on the middle of the floor and doing my thing, you know. So more power, you know, more power to them, most definitely.
God. Well, they can certainly take a page from your playbook with the long, you know, the longevity of your career. Just amazing. Okay. Well, Lenny,
yeah, I've been around for a while. That's most definitely.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about the current projects and how folks can find you and or your music. Tell us.
Yeah, I'm on, you can go to LennyWilliams.com, and you can also go, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, on Instagram. So, you know, you can go to iTunes, Amazon, you know, all of the online, you know, stores and find my music. And like, you know, we're in business, we're in the music business, you know. And that we're out there doing shows, or we're doing videos, and you know, we're making it happen. We won't do anything, you know, just, you know, morning hair show, and you know, just making it, making it happen, you know, and being, you know, visible and everything like that, you know, and viable, you know. So I mean, that's what, you know, the music business has changed a lot, and especially for older artists, you know, artists that have been around for a while, you know, myself included. I see people, you know, who are icons like Aretha Franklin putting out records, and people don't even know that they're out. Ron Isley, you know, so it's a definitely, you know, a time to be diligent and you know, just rediscover and redefine yourself and your methods of getting your music out. You know, so the internet and social media,
exactly,
making your own records and things like that, you know, is the theme of the day.
That's, I couldn't agree more. It seems like that is, unfortunately, you know, it's not quite the way it was before, but at the same time, there are a lot of great possibilities that I had.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. I mean, you just got to, and I think what it is, it's getting people back to the point where they're, you know, what you're doing for self, and you're not reliant upon, you know, a record company coming and signing you, or, you know, so when, you know, when the going gets tough, it's tough to get going, and so, you know, you figure out another way to do it. You know, when I was growing up, if my dad, if something went wrong around the house, and we didn't have the money to call, you know, the man with the big truck to come do it, you know, he did. You know, he figured out, he sit up there and look at it, and look at it from the left side and the right side and the other side and the other side, and he said, okay, I'm ready, and take it apart and fix it and
exactly.
Put it back together.
And made it work, exactly.
Yeah, make it work, most definitely. So that's what we're doing. You know, we're making it work, and it's exciting, you know. I mean, it's exciting, and it keeps you going, keeps that blood flowing. You're getting up, you know, every day, and, you know, it's a new challenge, and then, you know, when you succeed, you know, you pat yourself on the back, and you see the rewards of what you've done.
Absolutely. Well, Lenny, I have to say, I want to thank you so much. Did you have any, like, any last comments that you'd like to share with us today, any words of inspiration?
Yeah, I'd just like to say that, I want to thank you and thank all your listeners, you know, for supporting me over the years, you know, buying the CDs, buying the records, coming out to the shows, and, you know, calling radio stations and asking, you know, requesting the records. I want people to know that I don't take that for granted, you know, that I am humbled by it. And you know, hopefully I can, you know, live up to the, you know, the standard. You know, always be professional and get people what they want.
Lenny, you have far exceeded that.
Mm-hmm. Listen every Tuesday morning at 8:30 Eastern to Vet Talk with Michael Hopkins, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, live. We're all about hair, beauty, and community. Catch the replays on Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern at our 247hairradio.com network.
All right, yes, we're back live. You have been listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines on this Wednesday morning, December 1st of 2021. And if you're just tuning in, we have had just an extraordinary show today, I have to really say. And it's just been wonderful. We've got some great guests, but what you might want to do is check out our social media feeds over at Facebook or Twitter. We will share today's entire three-hour broadcast a little later after we wrap. So we're real, real excited. You might have missed the amazing Lisa Bloom, who came back. We just aired it a little while ago. She just came back to the Hair Radio Morning Show family in just a great appearance. She's actually, well, you know what? Take a listen a little later to the replay and come back and give us your feedback. Want to remind everybody also some big news over concerning our website. We have updated the website at HAIradio.com. It's pronounced hairradio.com, but again, it's only one R, so it's HAIradio.com. There we have a tab that's set up for Vet Talk Radio Show, the fans of Vet Talk Radio Show. And I love this new amazing page on the site because it really, it gives a lot more detailed information about Vet Talk Radio Show. So what is coming up, you guys already know that it airs on Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Eastern Time, 7:30 Central. And it's hosted by a gentleman, Michael Hopkins. You can read more about him there on the page, along with some information concerning his three angels, we call Michael's angels. And Vet Talk really aims at helping folks, particularly veterans, to navigate the claims process and so much more, along with recognizing the contribution that the veterans have made to our society. So we are just excited. He does a great job. And on this page, again, go to www.hairadio.com. Hit the tab that actually says Fans of the Vet Talk Radio Show. I think it's going to be great because we'll be able to put a lot more information there along with what you can expect and anticipate on the very next broadcast, along with a lot of interactive content with you guys, the fans of the broadcast, and so much more. So we're going to invite you to check out the page. We've been making some great additions to it, and we're real happy about that. It's just been great. So we really, really like your feedback. And let us know what you want also to get on that page. In addition to some of the other things, we've got some other announcements for you also. On tomorrow's broadcast, so we're talking about on Thursday morning, on the 2nd of December, tune in, we want you to tune in at 6 o'clock in the morning if you can and stay with us the whole 3 hours, but particularly at the third hour tomorrow. It's the very first episode of this, so we have not aired this. No one's heard it. It's the very first episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show's Top 10. So it is a countdown of the 10 most fascinating guests who've been on our broadcast. And with me for the ride is my great guest co-host for the episode, the one and only. You guys have gotten to know her with these special countdowns and special broadcasts, Mary Reed Johnson, who is a radio talk show host in her own right. And so we want you to tune in. That's 8 o'clock. Never been heard before. So it's all fresh and new just for you guys out there. Airing tomorrow at 8 right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So you don't want to miss it. And then Friday, Jossie's back in mid-show between 7 and 8 to give some hair care tips and all that wonderful good stuff and talking about products and product care and hair care and all those things. And then 8 o'clock we have a new, wonderful new addition to the Hair Radio family. And her name is Tracy. You'll get to know her. Tracy is, she is the proprietor of ActiveFollicles.com. So I like that. Let me just say that again. That's her website. It's www.ActiveFollicles.com. And she is a trichologist. She is a hair expert. And we invite you to tune in. So she'll be with us live on the air between 8 and 9 on Friday morning. And she's going to walk us through her new product line. I believe she has a big, big thing happening on Saturday. She is out of North Carolina, so we're shouting out all the folks down there. And she'll tell you a little bit more about this on Friday's show. So you don't want to miss her. She'll be with us live again on Friday. And then next week, we have a whole new set of folks joining us. Shakura will be back. Lionel Williams will be back. So many folks will be joining us again next week as well. So the Hair Radio Morning Show, we're a moving train in motion. And we are super, super hyped to have you with us. And thanks so much. And let me just shout out to all of our legacy advertisers who help us to things rolling along here. We couldn't do it without them. Folks like FixYourFeet.com, shouting out the amazing Dr. Raglan, as well as Rugged Evolution Beard Care. They've got a new app on the way, and we'll talk about them. We'll see if we can get them back on the show. Rugged Evolution Beard Care. Their website is RuggedEvo.com, by the way, and FixYourFeet.com, of course, for the amazing Dr. Raglan. Also, one of our other legacy sponsors, you heard the commercial a little while ago, and that's StimulatingRoots.com. Stimulating Roots, the best in hair care, they spell it R-U-T-Z. So go to StimulatingRoots.com for more information and more details. I also have to say we're shouting out to Smooth Black. We'll see if we can get them on the show for next Wednesday. Smooth Black is out in Southern California. And he runs Smooth Black, Inc., and he's been a hair industry legend and superstar. He's scheduled to be at our show in February. We'll have him on long before that, so we can get him next Wednesday. And also just want to say thank you to folks like Bobsa and their products that they help us with. He has an amazing product called You Go Girl, and we are super, super hyped to tell you about that. And just so much more. So thank you so much. And we look forward to having you guys back to join us on tomorrow's broadcast and for the rest of the week, of course. And then we'll be back for brand new shows as well next week. So it is just marching on. It's been great to have show number 636. It went by in a flash. And we'll get our outro started. And you guys make it an awesome, awesome Wednesday. We sure did. And we'll see you back here tomorrow. Here's the outro, everybody. Here's the outro. Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio Broadcast Network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot care. She has two locations, one in New York City and the other in Maryland. I also want to take a moment to acknowledge the amazing Troy Ballard, of course, from the West Coast out in Southern California. His company is called Smooth Black, Inc. Now, he offers the very, very best in hair care for the entire family. He is a legendary hairstylist and educator. And also, he's a program host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We just appreciate him again. That's Troy Ballard, a.k.a.
smooth black, a smooth black ink. Also, we are talking about a complete line of products for the guys now. It's that Rugged Evolution. Now, Rugged Evolution Beard Care is the actual name of the company. Rugged Evolution Beard Care makes a complete line. I love their products. Go to www.ruggedevo.com for more details. Again, that's ruggedevo, that's EVO.com for complete details on their products. Also, stimulatingroots.com. Now, Stimulating Roots is a hair product growth system for women, for everybody, really. And how they spell it, I love this, is R-U-T-Z. Again, amazing hair product that supports healthy hair. And I say the secret is in their name, Stimulating Roots. That's really it. That's what actually grows the hair. Now, we're also taking a moment. Go to their site, stimulatingroots.com. Again, it's spelled R-U-T-Z. Is how they spell roots.com. Now, we're also thanking our entire advertising and promotions family.